about.
ETA, 2 minutes, let's focus, people! Can we move a little faster? Not seeing a lot of people on their toes.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Welcome to The Breakdown. I'm Chuck Pierce.
And I'm Portia Scott Griffin.
And on our panel today, we have Obama denier and author of the book, Well, I Never Met Him, Alan Jarvis, transracial fracking misunderstander, Sally Rosenberg, Wiccan priestess and director of the documentary I Hate the Troops, Imani Focolo, Ken Simpson, a Kentucky dog groomer who used a religious liberty law to refuse service to a gay dog, and Rex, a gay dog. Welcome to the program.
And now,
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a world of happiness.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 5th of October. Are we a world of happiness, do you think? Is that us?
I'd say yes.
That's descriptive?
Sure. I'd say yes.
Okay.
You say that.
I'd say it.
Looking at Bean right now.
I know.
In the studio.
Look.
It's like a whole different world. Right?
And it's not a happy one. Come on, Allie. Don't make it worse.
I feel like it's happy.
Well, you're very sweet. Hey, speaking of happy, What's going on with you in Austin?
Listen,
Austin, for folks who weren't with us yesterday, is the Jeopardy champion that Allie is crushing on big time,
yeah.
As is most of America.
Yeah, we all love him.
As is most of America.
Yes.
I mean, he's bringing us together
right.
As a nation.
It's the only thing, you know, in these partisan times, Allie, don't you find that Austin is the only thing we as Americans can agree on?
Well, no, because people hate him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people think he's awful.
Oh, really? I thought everybody loved Austin.
Oh, no. Oh, no. He's super polarizing.
Do people think he's disrespecting the game with his flippant attitude?
Yes, absolutely, which makes me love him more.
Right.
He doesn't care.
Now I'm on his side.
So I tweeted a picture yesterday of my framed pictures of Alex Trebek. And I also put it on Instagram. And I said, maybe I like Jeopardy a little too much. Just kidding. Not possible. Also, if you're not living for contestant Austin right now, we're very different people. And yes, Kevin and Bean won't let me talk about him anymore, and I kind of respect that. And late last night,
yes,
got a comment on my picture.
From Austin?
Somebody tagged Austin.
Yes.
And his comment is, so this is weird. Oh.
Is that it?
Yeah.
So this is weird?
So that was your first impression?
He thinks I'm a weirdo.
Well, I mean...
Well, he was going to find out sooner or later anyway.
He's pretty spot on.
I mean, just from a picture?
Right.
You get that?
Well, you have framed photographs of Alex Trebek in your house, Allie.
Well, that's what I wrote back.
That says a lot.
Listen, I wrote back, I mean, pictures of you would be weird, but Alex, totally sane. Completely sane. Yeah. I don't think we're going to work out.
I don't think so either.
Plus, then I looked at his pictures.
Right.
Yankees fan.
Yankees?
Yeah.
Yankees,
gross. Yeah.
That's a deal breaker.
So it's over, Austin.
What a shame. How long have you been together?
At least a week.
About a week.
Yeah,
wow.
About a week.
That must have been a sweet week.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a sad part in every relationship when you realize it has no future. Because you're so hopped up on love.
Absolutely.
And you go through the ups and downs of life
for
a full week.
Yeah.
Having never met him.
I mean,
or talked.
I mean, one way. It was just one way.
Yeah.
But still, it was a rough journey.
Right.
Go on.
So it's just, I'm a little bummed.
It's a miracle you're here at work today.
Thank you.
Are you rooting against him now?
Totally.
He's a
totally. F you, Austin. I hope you lose. Yeah. No, I love him. I love him. He thinks I'm weird. And yeah, if I were to see somebody's pictures of framed Alex Trebek in a bookcase, what a loser.
That is the definition of weird.
Maybe he can't handle the competition. He says, oh, this girl's there for Alex.
Oh.
She's not there for me. I don't want to compete.
Right? I'm trying to get to Alex through him.
Yes. Maybe that's probably what he's thinking about.
Which is true.
How did he do last night?
He won.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She was very offended. You should have seen Allie's face.
I know. What's
he up to now?
How dare you ask that question?
A lot.
Like 400, something like that?
Oh, no. Less than 3 still.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't know the answer to last night's question, so all he wrote is...
Final Jeopardy?
Yes.
Okay.
What an idiot.
Nobody knew it.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Except for me, but no big deal.
Which is easy to say after you've seen the answer on TV.
Exactly. But his answer was...
F you, Alice. Alex. Yes?
Oh, I thought you were thinking of my name. Like,
no.
Allie.
Oh. That would have been even better.
Right? But even weirder than that was he wrote, "What is a taco?" And he taped this a month ago, and yesterday was National Taco Day. It's like he's magic, you guys.
Yay!
Thank you, kids. Thank you. No! There's no way to know it.
No one knows when National Taco Day is until you wake up that morning and it's training.
And when
or
it'll
when
air.
His episode is going to air, right?
Yeah. I mean, just magic.
He's a Jedi.
Thank you.
Wow. All right. Well, I don't know whether I hope that you just move on and find another imaginary TV boyfriend or if you guys work it out and end up together.
I mean, we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
This first impression of you is not great, but you can overcome that.
Look. He actually wrote the words, so, this is weird.
By the way, everyone's first impression of Allie is not great. Let's be honest.
I'm right here.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Hey, yeah, we got a big show today, a really big show, but do we have time for a thing?
You ask this every day.
Because I don't know, because I don't
do the thing.
You don't have a clock?
It's just that we talked a long time about imaginary love, and I just want
to.
Okay. This is a woman. I enjoy it when something is going on and somebody live tweets it. Mm-hmm. Do you guys enjoy that?
Yes.
Because you're invested in the story and you want to know
how. It depends on if it's Austin on Jeopardy.
This is a
and
woman.
And my friend Allie is live tweeting it.
Why'd you unfollow me?
This is a woman named Liz Bertarelli. Allie, were you following her drama as she dropped her phone onto the balcony
below
her,
yes.
where she lives in her apartment building?
In Canada, correct?
I think so, yes. Mm-hmm. Her phone survived the fall, Kevin. She could see her phone on the balcony in the apartment below her.
Okay.
But how did she get it back?
So she started live tweeting
that? She started live tweeting her thought process of how she was going to get it back. So, of course, obviously the first thing she did is she went downstairs and she knocked on the neighbor's door, which she ended up doing, it seemed like, every 3 hours she went down and knocked on that door. And eventually she concluded these people are dead. These people are out of town. These people don't live here anymore.
Bean was rooting, dead.
These people are sleeping. But imagine, you know how you are with your phone, right? So thank God she had a laptop so she was still able to tweet. But she's looking out the balcony down on, and Kevin, I know that you would have lasted about 45 minutes before you started crawling off of your balcony and tried to figure out a way to get down onto the balcony below.
It would have been about 3 minutes.
And I was so glad that she didn't do that, because that was what my fear was going to be. Was that she was going to try to do that. She was going to try to...
Like shimmy down? Maybe?
Yeah, do some sort of Mission Impossible thing.
Oh.
But she tried everything she could think of. I mean, at one point it starts raining, for instance.
Right. And wow. That must have been crazy.
And she lowers a canvas bag down from her apartment to cover up her phone to try to keep it from being wet, for instance.
And you were following this tweet by tweet?
I mean, I was catching up as updates were being presented.
So, yes. that's following tweets.
After I read that she had gone downstairs, knocked, then it started raining. I'm like, oh that
you were
sucks.
Out.
I was out.
Okay, so
at some point. I'm glad to hear an update.
All right, good.
There's no conclusion yet, by the way.
Oh, well.
She still doesn't know. Her phone is still on the balcony downstairs. It's alive and lighting up as she tweets. She can see the notification showing up on her phone, but she still can't get to it. And she's
pretty dumb. What time did this start yesterday?
Is there a super in the building?
Right. Seems like there are a lot of things, a lot of ways she could have.
She hasn't been able to find anyone who can get into the apartment.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying. And nobody's there. Look, you can go to the super.
She's bad at what she's doing.
What are they going to do? The super doesn't have permission to go into somebody's apartment because somebody else says, hey, I dropped something on their balcony.
You can get in an apartment.
You wouldn't want the person to do there.
You can get in an apartment.
Like late night when you see those videos of like the claw where you can get stuff from a cupboard.
She had a lot of people were suggesting
like put two claws.
A
together.
Lot of people are suggesting various things that she can go to Home Depot and buy.
Right.
They're talking about a ladder that she could throw over her balcony and climb down.
Oh, like the old school, like if there's a fire,
yes.
you put those out the window.
Exactly.
Sure.
So anyway, there's no update yet. And I'm sorry.
I can't believe you brought it up.
I'm sorry to leave you with Phonus Interruptus. I'm just saying it's very dramatic. And troubling, and I wish the best for Liz and her phone.
Is it really troubling?
Yes.
Chip, look at him; he is torn up.
What aren't you doing during the day that the rest of us are? You know, like running errands. talking to people.
Look.
Doing stuff.
Allie's got her Austin.
Even watching TV, which you do.
I've got my Liz. We all have something going on in our lives. We're very busy.
I'm working with crazy people. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
How is it appropriate for you to have an opinion about this?
Dr. Drew's on the show today, like we do on Thursdays.
Yeah.
We also talk sports with Jim Rome. We will do that again today. We have Ned Colletti, former general manager of the Dodgers. He's written a book called The Big Chair. We're going to talk to him today.
By the way, before he was the general manager of the Dodgers, which he did for 9 years, you know what he did for 11 years before that?
Of course. I read the book.
He was the assistant general manager of the Giants.
Oh, was he?
How do you make that transition? How do you go from being a super Giants fan to a super Dodgers fan? That would be tough in your brain, wouldn't it?
Well, I would think that's true of players as well, and it seems to happen all the time.
Yeah,
You know, you hate...
You're in the uniform that you've been rooting against your whole life. Mm-hmm. Must be weird.
Any update on the girls' phone?
Not right now.
Not right now. Okay. Breakfast with Foo Fighters. We've got your tickets coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. And this is – you're not going to love the sound of this at first. Mm. But there's a thing called – but bear with us because sometimes we can make stuff work that you think you might not like. There's a thing called Japanese fart theater. Kevin's going to be all you care about today.
Can I be out?
No.
Do I have to stay for that?
No. You gave us 10 minutes on a woman's phone.
You're going to listen. Some people tune
out. You're going to listen to Japanese fart theater and you're going to love it.
I mean, if you say so.
We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
You hear Allie and Austin broke up?
I don't listen anymore.
Me either. No. I don't know what's going on.
I got NPR on in the other room. I'm trying to get all things considered.
Really? Yeah. You're the smart one.
Yeah. We're very similar shows, though, really, when you think about it. Mm. Just lots of smart, entertaining commentary.
Mm.
Not so much. Mm. Hey, showbiz time. What's going on?
It is showbiz time. This is rock and roll. This is what I love. This is the story of Johnny Rotten, I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
John Lydon, of course, Sex Pistols. Went to the premiere of his new documentary, The Public Image is Rotten. Story of a fascinating character in modern American history. He goes to the event and then was refused entrance to the after party after the premiere because he was so drunk. He was so drunk that he, the star, the focus of the documentary, was refused entry into the after party because he was so drunk. He was refused entrance 3 different times, argued with the doormen, and then finally left with his wife and entourage when it seemed like he was not going to get allowed into the party.
That's pretty funny.
That's awesome, right?
Yeah. That's what you would expect.
The best, yes. Jim Carrey is on Norm Macdonald Live. Have you been following Jim's descent into madness?
I have, yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
He's not, Jim Carrey doesn't exist anymore. Never did. And he revealed that when he worked on Batman Forever, remember he was the Riddler in that film?
Mm-hmm.
He was the Riddler, Allie.
He sure was.
There's been one opportunity where you could have been right about something comic booky.
The Riddler?
Yeah, exactly. And Tommy Lee Jones played?
His dad.
No, at all. Not at all. Another villain.
Joker?
Nope.
Bat Boy. Bat, kid? Man.
Two-Face.
Two-Face. Sure.
Right. And they did not get along.
No.
Jim Carrey said when they met at a restaurant before they started shooting together, Tommy told him, I hate you. I really don't like you.
That's pretty strong.
I cannot sanction your buffoonery.
Did he use those words?
That's what Jim Carrey claims. This is not coming from Tommy Lee Jones.
I cannot sanction your buffoonery.
I mean, which is the greatest line ever.
I sort of love that.
And he's not wrong, by the way. If you've ever seen that performance in that film, there was a lot of buffoonery that someone sanctioned somewhere along the way, but it was not Tommy Lee Jones.
I don't believe in icons. I don't believe in personalities. I believe that peace lies beyond personality, beyond invention and disguise, beyond the red S that you wear on your chest that makes bullets bounce off. I believe that it's deeper than that. I believe we're a field of energy dancing for itself. And, I don't care.
Yeah, he seems fine.
A new interview for this documentary is out. He says, well, it doesn't matter because I'm not here. because Jim Carrey doesn't exist. He never did. So I can do anything. So either he's insane or he's just a pretentious a-hole. Either way.
Say no way!
No way!
No way!
Either way, I cannot sanction his buffoonery.
Right.
This is what I'm saying.
That's the best sentence ever.
I know he's one of the brains behind that HBO 70s comedy show, but...
I'm dying up here.
But dying up here. Is he doing anything else? Is he... take movie roles anymore?
He's got a Showtime series he's going to do.
Oh, okay.
We talked about this. He's going to play a kids show host who's built an empire, and his life starts to fall down around his ears.
All right. Are you going to sanction his buffoonery?
I do not sanction his buffoonery. However, I do sanction the buffoonery of our pal Jimmy Kimmel. And I'm happy to announce Jimmy's going to have a good week in New York City. He's going to do a week-long series of shows taped in Brooklyn, New York, as he does every year. This will be from October 16th to the 20th. And a special guest this year, David Letterman, doing a rare public appearance on late-night television.
How awesome is that?
I was so surprised to see that Dave was going to do that.
Dave's doing a lot more these days.
Yeah.
You just did a series of introductions with Alec Baldwin on some of his favorite films over on Turner Movie Classics, I think.
Nice.
They sat down, and it was really fascinating to hear Dave talk about The Big Sleep with Humphrey Bogart and East of Eden with James Dean and his opinions on these films. Very funny. And it was just him and Alec Baldwin talking about these movies.
Oh, I wish I'd seen
that. So it seems like he's doing more public.
And he's got that Netflix series coming out.
It's coming back. So, and of course, we know Jimmy's feelings about Dave. So expect him just to be a babbling, blubbering fool when he comes out. You think he cried over the Las Vegas shooting. What do you see David Letterman come out? He's really going to ball. Have you seen the new poster for his show, by the way? I'm assuming it's Jimmy and not someone just pranking him. But it's a big poster of Jimmy just crying, and it says the Jimmy Kimmel Estrogen Hour.
That very well could be him.
It's right at Hollywood and Highland, so I'm assuming it's...
Very well could be him.
I'm assuming that's Jimmy taking a shot at himself, which is very much like him.
He's become very emotional.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays... AC/DC singer Brian Johnson is 70 years old today. Astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson is 59. You guys get together, Kevin, sometimes just compare theories?
Once a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actress Kate Winslet's 42.
A couple of weeks if he needs to try and wrap his head around what I've given him.
Yeah. What'd you give him last? What was the last theory you gave him?
The theory of quantum leaping.
Uh-huh. Spectacular. He was there. Yeah. What about gravity? Have you guys talked about that?
No, that's for further on
down the
road.
You ever talk about satellites? You ever talk about where satellites go?
Come on,
I was just
Ralph.
Wondering if you and Neil deGrasse Tyson ever got together and talked about satellites.
I don't know why you would be bringing that up.
And where the satellites go, because sometimes it seems like you're a little confused.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
He wants to put his own satellites in space to prove that the Earth is flat.
Do satellites go in space?
Yeah, of course
they
do.
Where do you think they go, Kevin?
Was that a legitimate question, Kevin?
No, I think they're in the orbit.
What do you think the orbit is?
All right, let's move on.
How could
I take the headline away from B.O.B.?
Where do you think the orbit around a planet is?
In space, of course. Don't be ridiculous.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
But gravity, when you guys talk about gravity, you know that is locked down. You understand how gravity works completely. Talking to Neil, right?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Gravity turns the ship around. Yeah. That was part I wrote down where I was like, that makes me uncomfortable, because what if when that doesn't happen?
Well, gravity's a constant, Kevin. It'll happen.
But yeah, what if it doesn't turn the ship around?
It's a slingshot. Right.
But what if you keep going? There's a lot of what ifs.
No.
That's why I'm not doing it.
Hey, Kevin, you know what? Of all the what ifs, gravity is not one of them.
Right.
Gravity is the one sure thing in this whole equation.
Could you get stuck in gravity, though, is what I'm asking.
Could you get stuck in gravity
around the moon?
What does that even mean?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
How about Las Vegas?
Come on now.
How dare you?
You guys
probably
meet in Vegas, right?
Yeah, you guys get together in Vegas.
You get together in Vegas. Sometimes you go to conferences, astrophysicist conferences.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What are you with Vegas, aside from hockey? Fan?
What am I,
you
what?
Go?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
But do you ever talk about television and its influence? Its influence on
no
people.
Time. Well, sorry, no
its
time.
Its influence. No the, time. Do people get their information from television?
Got no
do ever,
time.
Do you ever talk about that?
We don't have time for that. I'm sorry.
I thought maybe.
Nope. Oh. Sorry.
Maybe.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But she decided.
Does anyone on the show have any actual experience outside of television and or TV?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
With everything that's going on in the world,
come on now.
Are you guys concerned about terrorism? Do you ever think about you know what the terrorists might be doing? You know, you see awful events happening in the news. Yeah. And you just, I mean, a guy like Neil deGrasse
Tyson, great minds.
Yeah, he's such a smart guy.
Debating the problems of the day.
I feel like.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, you know, infallible word of God or, you know, in terrorist, you know, situations or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Stop it.
Dude, it sounded like you got hit by a tranquilizer dart, and that's what you were saying just before you fell.
I gotta tell you, that's the only one of the only moments with I want to clarify that's actually worse than your impression of me.
Hall of Fame.
I'm Ralph Garvin. I walk the showbiz beat.
My prediction, pain.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Mr. T is here on K-Rock.
Shut up, fool.
And I'm sure you're wondering why. It's because he's going to help us give away some tickets to Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Foo Fighters and the whole lineup at Cal Jam 17 this Saturday with a game we like to call I Pity the Foo.
I Pity the Foo.
I thought there might be something.
This music, fool.
We're just listening to the theme. That's all we're doing. Oh, there might be some talking.
Excuse me from the 18.
Oh, I see it. How's I Pity the Foo work, Mr. T?
Don't be stupid, fool.
That was surprising. All right. Don't be stupid.
Right.
Okay.
I will ask you a question, trivia question, about the Foo Fighters.
Oh, right. I see.
If you answer the question, then you're getting a drawing or something. I don't know how it works.
Get into a drawing, yes.
Okay.
Although we do have not three. Here to run everything.
We do have three pair to give away.
And to hold your hand. I'm going to feed you your cereal.
All right, let's start with Paige in Costa Mesa.
Okay.
Hi, Paige.
I'm going to pour milk on it, put it on a spoon, put it in your mouth. I'm going to ask you a question. If you get it right, then you win something.
Paige, say hi to Mr. T.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paige. Here's your question. Dave Grohl takes on a lot of side projects. In 2004, he created a death metal band. Mm. What was it called?
Death metal band?
Death metal. 2004.
Probot?
Yes.
That's the answer.
Yes.
Nicely done.
You're no fool, fool.
That's a Dave Grohl fan right there, you guys. Paige, hang on. You're one step closer to winning the tickets. Who's up next?
Next up is Veronica from Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hi.
Veronica, listen up. Before joining the band, Taylor Hawkins was the touring drummer for this 90s female music superstar. Who was it? Who did Taylor Hawkins used to drum for?
A lot of hints in that question, too. 90s female star.
90s female star.
A lot of hints.
Alanis Morissette.
Yes!
Yes, that's correct.
Veronica,
damn.
Well done.
I had no idea you were going to get that, Veronica.
All right, two for two, Mr. T.
Up next is Nydia in Garden Grove. Hi there.
Hi.
Nydia, here's your question. The original Foo Fighters drummer William Goldsmith quit during the recording of the group's second album. What was the name of the second album? 1997.
Tough question, Mr. T.
Second album.
The Color and Shape?
That's right.
We're all stunned.
That's crazy. You people know things.
Yeah, they really do. I'm surprised how much you know about Foo Fighters, Mr. T.
I'm reading them, fool.
All right. Okay.
Someone gave me a piece of paper.
Next up is Cameron in Rancho Santa Margarita. Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
What game are we playing?
Playing Pity the Foo.
Okay.
We got nothing? No music? Nothing. No stab? Nothing? No.
I feel this is underproduced.
Got nothing.
It's crazy.
Just you saying it.
We're on the way out. Show's on the way out.
How would you know about that, Mr. T?
I read things. I hear things.
All right. Cameron would like to try to win tickets to see the Foos.
The band's seventh studio album, Wasting Light, was produced by this producing legend and garbage member.
Well, you'd have to call him names.
Garbage.
I think that's,
he's garbage.
That's just mean. Famous musician and producer we're looking for.
Member of Garbage. A lot of clues there.
A lot of clues.
Yes.
Yes.
These people are dumb, but then they get the answer anyway.
It's pretty shocking, isn't
crazy.
It? Dave?
They're like savants.
All right. Next up is Adam in Simi Valley. Hi.
Morning, party people.
Adam, here's your question. The band's eighth studio album was released as an accompanying soundtrack to the David Grohl-directed 2014 miniseries of the same name. What was it? Name of the album and the miniseries Dave directed.
Oh, man.
It's a television project and an album.
I watched it, too.
Oh, good. What was the name, fool?
I forget.
Oh. Sonic Highways.
Yes.
Sound familiar?
Yeah,
I know it's right. Fool.
All right. Thank you, Adam.
We only have time for one more, Mr. T. I'm sorry to say.
All right. Let's go to Richard in Glendora. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Here's a question. After the death of Kurt Cobain and before starting up the Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl was offered a full-time gig drumming for what music legend who just passed away?
Just passed away. Well, Tom Petty passed away on Monday.
Yes, he did.
That's the answer, Tom Petty. Dave Grohl was almost a heartbreaker. Fool.
How about that? Mr. T, great questions, great contestants. Richard is in the drawing, as is Cameron, Nydia, Veronica, and Paige. Unfortunately, only three will win tickets to both Cal Jam 17 Saturday at Glen Helen and the Breakfast with Kevin Bean Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. here on K-Rock. Miss Allie McKay, who are our winners, please?
I'll tell you the names, fool.
Mr. Okay. T, who are our winners, please?
Cameron, Nydia, and Richard.
Yay! Congratulations.
What kind of name is Nydia?
Tuesday, you guys. That's Tuesday. Pretty excited.
Breakfast with Foo Fighters. Breakfast with that band?
Yes.
Yes, it is. I'm excited as well. Can you tell?
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, guys. Allie, you're a lifelong Dodger fan, would you say?
I was raised out here, so mm-hmm. my parents were Red Sox fans from right. Boston, but I grew up going to Dodgers games, so that was my NL team. You're allowed to,
Are you prepared to go through it all again as the playoffs begin tomorrow?
100%.
Because as the famous quote goes, baseball is designed to break your heart. You play the whole season. Mm-hmm. Then you get to tomorrow night, and yeah. everything's on the line.
I'm in.
Well, there's a great book out for Dodgers fans right now called The Big Chair, and it's written by Ned Colletti, who was in baseball for 33 years, nine of those as the general manager for our Los Angeles Dodgers. And we are delighted to welcome Mr. Colletti onto the Kevin Bean Show right now. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It's almost time.
It's right almost time. And you're not watching it just like a fan. You're watching it as, hey, Clayton Kershaw, he's my boy. I signed him. He's a once-in-a-generation pitcher, right, Ned?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, it's an exciting time. And it's to see people that you drafted as a group, that you helped rise to the big leagues, have a chance to compete in the best month of the baseball season. Pretty special. A little anxiety from time to time, right? A little nervousness
sure.
from time to time.
Can you watch it as a fan, or are you always thinking about the business side of it?
Well, I'm not really thinking of the business side as much as I'm thinking it from maybe the X-ray side, where I'm watching it pitch by pitch. I'm watching a guy like Clayton set up hitters. Obviously, he's faced Arizona for a long time in his career, so I know he pitches Goldschmidt. I know how he attacks Lamb. I know how he does all those different things. So I just watch the execution of the game and how guys perform. It's a beautiful thing.
Ned, I read your book yesterday. I recommend it to all baseball fans. And it's so easy as a fan to go, hey, why don't they just win the World Series? But I got the impression after reading your book that it's almost impossible to win a game, much less win a division, as the Dodgers have done 5 years in a row. And winning the World Series is like a unicorn. It's almost impossible to do.
It is so hard to do, and anybody that thinks it isn't just hasn't had to really do it, because winning is difficult. It is a tough thing to do. That this franchise won 5 years in a row and goes to the postseason, that's remarkable. Mm-hmm. That is remarkable in itself. And when I hear people say, well, if they don't win the World Series, it's been a wasted year, nothing's further from the truth. Do they want to win it? Yeah. Has it been a long time since 1988? Absolutely. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that they have a chance right here, right now, to do something that hasn't been done for a while. But it is tough to win.
I was so intrigued with how much you wrote about the McCourts, because, of course, they were the owners for some of the time, quite a bit of the time, that you were the general manager of the L.A. Dodgers. You had a very complicated relationship with old Frank, didn't you?
You know, Frank taught me a lot. Frank is one of the smartest people I know, and he taught me a lot about business. He taught me a lot of negotiation skills. Some he used with me, some he used against me, and you know. But I learned a lot. I always, you know, and you can't. You know, we learned a lot during that period of time. Some of it you wouldn't want to repeat, and some of it you would use every day. And that's part of life. And many times the lessons we learn are the ones that are the most painful for us, and we don't necessarily like them. But I did learn a lot. And,
well, is it fair for fans to continue to think of him as a big, bad bully and a villain, though?
And he's the guy that ruined the
Dodgers? Because he's the guy that, for a while, it seemed like ruined one of the most storied franchises in baseball.
Well, I think no matter who it is, I think it behooves people who have interest in the people that they either really like or really don't like, that they really find out as much about him as possible. I got a chance to work for him. I got a chance to sit next to him. I got a chance to see him on a daily basis. And I was the one that was kind of entrusted with building a franchise with a fluctuating payroll that sometimes people thought wasn't commensurate with the market that the team played in. You know, that was on me to figure that out. But that doesn't mean that I don't take great lessons from that, some of them positive. Some of the teachings, some of the way he would refine my thought process, I haven't had many people do that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always grateful for that piece of it, too. I would spend time really getting to know who people are instead of just taking it at face value. You may find out something better. You may find out something not good. But I think that it's something people don't want to have to do because it takes so much time, and the world is so fast today.
I prefer snap judgments based on little or no information.
Yeah, that's you know, that, and you're not unlike most. You know? I mean, that's...
That sounds a little bit like a politically correct answer, is it?
Yours or mine?
Yours.
Okay. Well, I don't know. It's a truthful answer.
All
I
right.
learned a lot.
Right.
I learned a lot, and you know what? I didn't agree with everything. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know if we always agree with everything that people we report to do anyway. I don't think that's uncommon in life. I don't think it's probably, you know, you don't have to answer that because your boss may be listening.
Oh, no, we disagree with them all the time. You know?
Hey, we're on the way out, Ned. Let's be honest. Ned Coletti is on the line. He was the former GM of the Los Angeles Dodgers. His book is out now called The Big Chart. I want to ask you about two of the fan favorites, and because you write so lovingly about both of them in the book. I was almost mad at you, Ned, as I was reading the book. Where's the Vin Scully chapter? I kept screaming until I got to chapter 26 and you finally write about how special Vin is. That must be, for a lifelong baseball fan, some of the best minutes of your life that you got to spend with Vin on a regular basis year after year after year, right?
Oh, it was one of the great blessings of my whole life, both professionally and personally. Vin Scully, we all know him as maybe the ultimate broadcast announcer in all of time.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. But as a human being, he exceeds that of a broadcaster. One of the nicest, most genuine people I've ever met. And I was every time I had a chance to spend time with him, and I spent a lot of time with him, whether it was dinners or sitting on the plane traveling from one place to another, I always knew it was special. And
yeah.
that I was never going to find anybody else in my world that was going to be like this man. And his grasp of not just the game, but of life, and to be able to talk about both and to be able to reflect back in pristine fashion, it was every day. It was a
national treasure.
Honor to know it.
National treasure. All right. In our final minute with you, Ned, you tell a great story in the book about the other fan favorite, Tommy Lasorda. Would you mind repeating the story you put in the book about him going to a minor league clubhouse on the road?
Yeah, he was, I think it was in Chattanooga, our double-A team at the time, and Tommy is so exuberant all the time, and he can't wait to get to the ballpark, and he can't wait to address a team, and so the story goes that he comes in, and he always had somebody with him. He had somebody that got him to the ballpark and made sure he was in the right ballpark and things like that, and they had to go to the restroom, and so they told him to wait at the concourse, and they stepped into the restroom, they came out, he was gone, and so they went looking for him, and he ended up walking into a clubhouse, and as soon as he got in, everybody knew who he was. And he started in on pull on the same side of the rope, make sure you're playing as hard as you can. We got to beat these guys, and you know, a little vulgarity perhaps here and there, and
sure.
and really kind of, you know, give the Newt Rockne, you know, one for the Gipper type of speech,
right.
really going on and on. And he gets a tap on the shoulder, and the guy says, "Hey, your team's in the other side of the stadium here. You're in the visiting clubhouse."
That's awesome.
But I love Tommy. Tommy's been the best for decades.
He's giving a pep talk to the wrong team.
Baseball.
Oh, he does. Oh, my God. Your stories about Tommy. Guys, if you like Dodger
fans.
How about
the Frank Sinatra story?
I love this. Oh, you broke Tommy Lasorda's heart. I wish we had time to go into it, but you broke Tommy's heart when you told him what Frank told you.
I told him not to ask me. I told him, don't make me tell you.
Guys, you'll love the book. It's available wherever great books are sold. It's called The Big Chair. Ned Colletti is the author, and he has been our guest at the Kevin Bean Show. Ned, thanks for coming on, man. Go Dodgers.
Oh, my pleasure. Go Dodgers is right. Friday we begin.
It is 6:54.
Hey, Dr. Drupinski on the program today, Jim Rome, and I'm very excited. Coming up right after 7, sex robots in the news, you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I always look forward to sex robot news. Got the Google alert.
Uh-huh.
Got a great story to talk about.
Where did you just go on vacation?
Where did I go on vacation?
Yeah.
To Switzerland?
Oh, odd. This was in Austria, but I mean, he's pretty close at that point, right?
Well, I mean, I read in a car, if that's what you're asking. 6:54.
Yes.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Rock and roll!
You know, it is the 5th of Rocktober. Never mind.
We're ready.
And so the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has announced their nominees for 2018 induction. Now, keep in mind, these are just nominees.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the class that will be inducted.
Now, do you have feelings on...
They are nominated.
You have feelings on all of these nominees, Ralph? Yay or nay? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, I do too, so I'm excited
Let's
to talk about
it. Let's burn through them, and we'll see if we'll allow them in or not.
Okay.
All right.
Since that we are on the committee.
They should leave it to us,
think
right?
I think we're on the committee, but yeah. You should be.
Here we go. 2018 nominees, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
I'm a no on Bon Jovi.
Dude.
I'm not saying they're not
on a steel horse they ride.
I'm not saying they're not a good band.
They're wanted.
I'm saying they're not original in any way.
Yeah, I think I agree with the bad man.
Doesn't mean they're not good.
I think I'm a no on them.
I'm a no on them too, actually.
You are? Okay.
Not enough of an impact, I really, to belong in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
They're fine.
Great hair, though.
But this
I'm
isn't
guessing they were nominated because it'd be 20 years in the business or something
right.
before you get nominated.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's their 20th anniversary. Kate Bush.
I'm also a no.
Kate Bush.
I don't think so.
How can you not put Kate Bush in?
I'm not saying she's not a good artist.
She's a legend.
But rock, yeah, there are lots of legends, but not all of them are Rock and Roll Hall of Fame worthy.
She is more influential to female artists than almost any other modern singer-songwriter.
Look,
just... without Kate Bush, there is no Lord, there is no Tori Amos, there is no... I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Well, I think Joni Mitchell's more of an influence than Kate Bush.
You're the worst.
Don't give up, Kate, if you don't make it this time.
We see what you did.
Okay.
When I was reading this list at first, I didn't see Kate. I was like, how is Bush nominated? This is insane!
You didn't see the Kate in front of Bush?
It was in the line before, and then Bush was at the bottom.
They put her name on separate places on the page.
Kate was the last word on one line, and Bush was the first word on the next line.
Okay. Kevin's a speed reader, you know.
Right?
I forgot that. The Cars.
I think so.
Why the Cars?
I mean...
Why the Cars, but not Bon Jovi? Because you like them, that's why.
Where are they from?
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
that's
Jesus.
Right. Wow. I am also a no on the Cars.
I'm sorry.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Cars.
I like them. I have all the records.
The Cars,
I like them. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Look, I think the Hall of Fame doesn't mean anything if it's every band that ever put out a record. I think
you should go through the list of people who are in the Hall of Fame.
I don't agree.
By the way,
I don't agree with all the choices.
Before you start getting all uppity.
By the way,
know your place. Stay in your lane.
Look, you're right about that. That they've made some mistakes, but that doesn't mean the answer is to continue making mistakes. I think you should be as good as you can.
That's it.
You should be as good as you can.
Right. So what's your excuse for the way you live your life?
I say yes to the Cars.
All right. Boston says yes.
Depeche Mode?
Yes.
Yes.
All
yes.
The yes.
I say all yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm in with them. Dire Straits.
No.
It sounds like you don't like them if you say no, but that's not the case.
Yeah.
We do like them.
Dire Straits.
I say no. I mean, very talented singer-songwriter band, but no.
What about Guitar George?
He knows all the chords.
He knows them all. He knows them all.
No.
Eurythmics.
I am right on the fence on this one. I think I'm leaning yes, though.
I will push you off the fence because it's absolutely yes.
I think I'm leaning yes for Eurythmics.
I think I'm just going to fall in line so that people don't yell at me.
Breakthrough artists, 100%. Eurythmics.
I think so. So
not only with Annie Lennox, but Stewart's production and his songwriting and what they did for music in that era.
Yes.
Without compare, absolutely belonging.
All right, so we're Depeche Mode, yes. We're Eurythmics, yes.
Crazy Town.
That's it so far.
Carson. Yes.
Jay Giles Band.
No.
Great Bar Band.
No.
No. Judas Priest.
Oh,
come on.
I think maybe.
No way. If you're going to say Bon Jovi isn't original enough, they did anything different, Judas Priest is every one of those other bands, only less so.
I agree.
Yeah, no.
Okay, I bet I'm a no.
I'm a no on the Priest.
No.
Okay.
LL Cool J.
Yeah.
I say yes.
What?
Yes.
I say, what? Both of you say yes?
I say yes on LL Cool J. I do.
In the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Yeah.
You go right to hell.
I'm telling you.
I want you to burn.
His first three albums.
Fire Must Cleanse Us. Fire Must Cleanse Us.
This is.
Fire Must Cleanse Us.
Hold on a sec. This is the NWA argument. This is the Public Enemy argument.
NWA is very different than LL Cool J.
I say yes on LL Cool J.
You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong.
I say even if you're talking about rap artists, no. No on him.
The monkey is right.
I don't think you understand how influential LL Cool J
he really
is
was.
To rap.
I don't think you understand what we're talking about.
I think you need love.
I think it's funny hearing you talk about roots. That's all I know.
It's funny to hear a woman talk about anything, isn't it, Ralph?
Right.
We're gonna agree to disagree on LL Cool J.
No, we're not. You're wrong. We're gonna agree you're wrong.
You've been outvoted.
We'll agree you're wrong.
I think he's gonna get it.
You've been outvoted.
Yeah, he should be.
MC5.
I think overrated.
I think
without Kick Out the Jams, you never heard of them.
Yeah, I agree. I don't believe it.
A lot of people love them, but no.
The Meters.
I have to recuse myself.
I've never heard of this band.
Legendary New Orleans band.
Well, first of all, if neither one of us has heard of them, they're not legendary.
They are.
No, there's
among,
no legend.
Among musicians.
I don't see a lot of troubadours going around singing about the legend of the Meters.
What I'm saying is tons of...
Okay, so Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I say no.
Okay. I knew that was going to be your answer, so let's just cut to the chase on that one.
Okay.
But no, we had to sit through the legend lecture first.
They are, though. All right,
now everyone heard of them, and everyone loves them, and it's millions and millions of people go by the side of a stream to watch the Meters catch salmon.
Famous, very famous rhythm section.
Right.
Played on a million hit records.
You already voted no. Next.
Okay. Moody Blues.
No.
Moody Blues.
No.
No. No, no, no.
I like them, but no.
Yeah.
Radiohead.
Absolutely.
Nah.
I say yes.
Nah.
I say they did what they did.
They had that one album.
They had lots of albums, first of all, one influential album.
And then the rest they had sounds.
They do what
pops
they do
and buzzes.
Better than anybody who does what they
do. Well, they should go in that Hall of Fame then. They should go in the Hall of Fame of doing what you personally do better than the guy next door does at Hall of Fame. Put him in that building. Keep him out of my Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'm also going to tell you that there's no doubt in my mind.
No doubt?
Save the tape.
No.
Save the tape. There's no doubt in my mind they get in first ballot.
I'm sure they will. Because
and they should.
Freaking critics are like...
I see what you're doing with your hand gestures.
I don't think you see.
But I'm telling you, Radiohead deserves to be in.
It's such a just a critical...
All right. I'm waiting for the absolute yes.
Well, we can just move along after Rage Against the Machine.
Well, Rage Against the Machine, yeah, absolute 100%, yes.
Of course.
I think so. All right, good.
How about Rufus with Chaka Khan?
No.
Come on, Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan?
Ralph, I feel for you, but no.
No, they're not. Nina Simone.
Yes.
Again,
yes. Recuse myself. Don't know my
name. You don't know Nina Simone's
right? I know of, but not much about.
I mean,
she's
culturally very significant.
But Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Yes. I keep getting caught up in the rock and roll part of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You got to broaden
your
horizons.
Why? It's not the Music Hall of Fame. It's not the Musicians Hall of Fame. It's not the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Right, but Rock and Roll...
It's got a name to it.
But Rock and Roll
is all-encompassing.
Their definition of Rock and Roll doesn't mean guitars, bass, drums, and singer.
Nor does it mine.
It means the
spirit.
Is
Nina Simone rock and roll to you?
No, but...
Then shut up!
But the spirit
You're fighting
of,
on my
the
side!
The spirit of her contribution, they will argue, is significant.
Well, put it in the Contribution Spirit Hall of Fame!
You can't say that word.
I just did.
Right, but...
Then
BS reasons why people should be in.
How can you say Kate Bush is a lock, but a Nina Simone isn't?
Because of influence.
Nina Simone.
In the soul R&B world specifically, yes. Kate Bush, much more so in rock and roll.
You know, if I talked real loud like that, I could make you look like the bad guy, too.
You are the bad guy.
I'm fine to say no to Nina Simone, by the way.
You're
but
wrong.
But
what about the Spirit Contribution Hall of Fame vote you're giving? Dumbass.
Sister Rosetta Tharpe. Now, I know Kevin's a huge Sister Rosetta Tharpe fan. He's going to be fighting for this
one. I'm going to have to recuse myself on that one as well.
Yeah, me too.
She's heard of.
Again, a legend.
Legendary.
He is.
Legendary.
Is not a
She's
legend.
She's the biggest gospel star of the 40s.
Biggest star ever. Everyone's heard of her. She throws out towels, paper towels to all the people in her crowd.
She was tremendously influential to so many people.
Right. She has all those albums that teach you languages.
I feel
that's
we're
the Rosetta Stone.
The Rosetta Tharpe, yeah, I know.
I sort of feel like we're out of time here.
There's one band that definitely should be in.
What are you in a hurry for?
Interactive sex doll talk.
Yeah. We don't need that much time for that.
Just get to Ween and let's be done with it.
Link Ray.
I know you're going to say yes because you love that
Link
surf guitar.
Link Ray.
But, I mean, no.
No.
I say no.
And the Zombies.
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Yes, the Zombies. Seminal 60s band in so many ways.
I think I will allow it.
Zombies. You'll allow it?
I think I will allow the Zombies.
Well, that's good news for them,
sport.
I'm sure.
You're a sport.
Thank you, Ralph. That was fun.
Was it?
Didn't seem
just
fun.
Just raised my blood pressure. That's all it did. Today's celebrity birthdays, Brian Johnson, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Kate Winslet, Jesse Eisenberg, and Dylan Francis. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We can't take credit for this, but a listener called the Afro Line and said, hey, when is that Breakfast with Foo Fighters? Isn't it coming up on Foo's Day?
Yay!
Well played.
I kind of like it.
Not bad.
Got more tickets you can win to join us for exclusive Breakfast with the Band Tuesday morning. It'll be at 7 a.m. And we'll also hook you up with Cal Jam 17 tickets this Saturday at Glen Helen to see the band along with Queens of the Stone Age, Cage the Elephant, Liam Gallagher, Royal Blood, and so much more. Your chance to win coming up on K-Rock.
Listen to this headline. Interactive sex doll breaks down after huge number of customers try it out at Austrian Electronics Fair.
Like too many people hugging?
Well, I mean, hugging, yes. That's one of the things they did.
Now, if this is a sex robot, basically, right?
Yes.
And it's got artificial intelligence, so it can talk to you and can react to your touch and whatnot. Some people think it's creepy. I think it's inevitable that eventually there are going to be robots and humans that are going to be indistinguishable from one another.
Was it Bean?
But I assume that this is at an Austrian electronics fair, so this robot is on display like the new washing machine would be,
right?
And people in a public place are just coming up and trying to mount a robot in front of a room full of people,
here's later in the article. The people mounted Samantha's breasts, her legs, and her arms. Two fingers were broken.
Oh, wow.
She was, I quote, heavily soiled.
Oh, my God. They treated her like barbarian.
Was it Bean?
Why are you so down on sex robots, Kevin?
Because they're robots.
Right.
Is this still an opportunity to have sex with women?
Not for everyone.
Okay.
Look. How is it any different? Are you repulsed by the idea of somebody using a sex toy? It's just it's a sexual enhancement for people.
But I'm saying if you're replacing sex with this, that's not good. That isn't good.
Well, let's find out, because the developer of Samantha the Sex Robot is named Sergi Santos, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hello, Mr. Santos. How are you?
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
We're fine. I'm so sorry and so sad to hear about what happened with Samantha.
Yes, it was so horrible. First of all, Samantha was heavily soiled.
Heavily soiled. I mean,
just the way you guys put it in the article is just it leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Right?
I mean,
right, Sergi?
Expression.
Two fingers were broken.
How? Do you know how? Were you there? Did you see how two fingers got broken?
Yes. One gentleman tried to see if they would fit.
Oh, Sergi.
And then he sat down next to her.
Okay, one.
No. Yes.
First of all, it was very exciting to be in the Art Electronica Festival in the first place. Because of all the people bringing their new...
bringing their what? I'm sorry?
Their new washing machines to show off at the festival.
I thought that was a weird thing at the festival.
That's what they do is they have like built-in Wi-Fi and screens and cameras and things and refrigerators and washing machines. Now they're becoming very common, Sergi.
Yes, this was more for electronica and arts.
I see. Okay. All right.
It was showing the people how they can have a special woman in their life, but they treated her like barbarians.
Yes, that's unacceptable.
They mounted her breast and her legs and her arms.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, did I mention she was heavily soiled?
You did. Yep. Yeah,
yes, that's, those are the two words that are.
I had to send her back to Barcelona for repairs and cleaning.
Uh-huh.
Is she going to pull through?
We're not sure.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Please keep your thoughts and prayers for Samantha, the robot who's not alive, for creepy people to have sex with.
Now, she reacts to touch. She speaks multiple languages. She's able to learn new things thanks to artificial intelligence. She recognizes people that she has met before and keeps in mind how they interacted in the past. That's amazing technology, Sergi.
Hello?
But not amazing enough to keep you on the phone.
A lot like our phones.
Well, the phone died.
Well, we'll get it back on the line.
That's
here.
Such a bummer.
But don't you see a time, guys? Look, this is new technology and
no,
it's expensive.
I
this
don't.
Is $4,000 or whatever it is. But don't you see a time in the not too distant future, 20 years maybe, where you're not going to be able to tell the difference between a person and a robot? Don't you see
you
that time?
You can't tell the difference. Yeah, maybe in 40 years, but do you want to have sex with a robot?
I do. Okay. Hey, Serge.
Samantha says leave her alone.
We'll talk to our friend Jim Rome coming up just after 8. About...
What's happening?
Just keep dropping things.
Well, stop.
About the idiot that is Cam Newton and other things going on in sports. That's coming up just after 8
triggered.
On
Kira.
First, though, we had Drew Doughty on from the Los Angeles Kings earlier this week.
Yes.
And he told an interesting story. Somehow we got on the topic of Wayne Gretzky. Oh, it's because that's how come he was a Kings fan. From the time he was 5 years old, he, even though he lived in Canada, he was a Kings fan.
His entire family were Maple Leafs fans. Mm-hmm. He's like, nope.
Yep, Wayne's my man. And then he talked about the time he met Wayne Gretzky, and it was a memorable story.
Yeah, the first time I met him was a funny story. I was at the draft, and I was actually taking a beside him and decided to shake his hand over there. But
really? At that point?
Yeah.
You can't wait till he backs away and washes his hands?
And hopefully he's listening. I want to golf with you, Wayne.
Now, we had to beep that for FCC reasons, but he did not say poop.
Yeah, was
just in case you're wondering.
Right.
Yes, all right. So he's at a urinal, and he looks over, and there's Wayne Gretzky. And Kevin, you were talking to Drew off the air about this. What is it that happens in your brain that you can't just accept, oh, that's a famous person?
I don't know. I don't know why you have to.
I have to talk to him, right?
We were doing Dodger Day, and I was going to the restroom, and we were on the same level as, and I was standing next to Vin Scully.
Oh, no.
The great Vin Scully.
Right.
And he looked at me and he said, the water's cold. And I said, yeah, and it's deep. No, I'm just kidding. it's just an old joke. And in my mind, because he's so legendary, I mean, I used to listen to Vin Scully call baseball games, and I don't like baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's such a treat, right?
He's so amazing. So for some reason, I had to say something. I don't know why. Just shut up is my answer to myself. Mm-hmm. I said, how do you think it's going to go tonight? And he said, well, I think it's going to go pretty good. And then he stopped, and I was like, God damn, I'm such an idiot. I'm such an idiot.
Why did I waste a great man's time with a stupid comment
that
doesn't add anything to anything?
I just hated myself.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Right. I know. It's still painful for
Vin. So that's
bad.
But
how was it?
You weren't going.
Yes.
When you said,
yes.
Was this a trough?
No, it was
urinals.
Urinals, yeah.
At least you didn't try to shake his hand.
No. I didn't try to shake his hand.
At least you had that. So
and
we're gonna...
you said, how's it going to go?
For the Dodgers. I mentioned the Dodgers.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
wow, there's a little bit of blood, Kevin.
Oh. I should have said, hey, how's it going?
Right. Hey, we're going to take your calls, by the way, on your celebrity restroom encounters. It wasn't where you were hoping you would meet this famous person, but you guys were in the bathroom together.
What if that's the only time you meet that person?
Right.
Right.
You want to take advantage of that opportunity. So that's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Call if you can. Text if you can't. Dave, the King of Mexico.
Yeah, well, I met Diamond Dallas Page, the famous wrestler, in a restroom. And this was the opposite for him.
Were you tapping your left foot?
No, I was not. We were at a urinal. And he looks over at me, and I look over at him. I'm like, oh, hey, it's Diamond Dallas Page. And he knew I recognized him, so he says, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, good. And after we're done, he reaches to shake my hand.
Oh.
And I look at him like, okay, let's walk over to the sink, wash our hands, and then I shake his hand.
Well, then you're not a real WWE
right?
fan.
Yeah, no. But I was –
that's the difference because
– yeah.
Because had – this is a ridiculous example, but had Vin Scully – tried to shake. Of course, because he's a legend.
Right. You would just shake. Yeah, that, I mean, like, I knew who Diamond Dallas Page was. I wasn't like a huge fan or anything. So I was like, oh, cool.
So then you wash.
So I washed. Yeah, I washed first and then shook his hand. But I was like, dude.
That was very nice of him, by the way, to shake a stranger's hand in a restroom.
I don't know.
Or to offer to, anyway.
Right?
Well, I don't know what that shake meant, but you know, I don't know if he was offering a little more.
I mean, you were young then, Dave.
Like, hey, yeah. Hey, you want to do some yoga?
No, here's the thing.
This is very weird.
Here's the weird thing. Nothing happens in men's restrooms. That's yes, why I did the right. bathroom interviews in the day, because guys do not talk.
Yes, you pretend you are alone when you're in a bathroom.
There can be 12 people and you won't hear a word.
Yep, you put blinders on.
Okay.
Except for if there's a celebrity. Yes, Muggs.
So this was when I was a K-Rock van driver at the Jackass No. 2 world premiere at the TCL Chinese Theater. Before the movie started, I was in the bathroom at the urinal, and who walks up to the urinal right next to me, steps on my foot while I'm going, Johnny Knoxville.
Is that a signal?
He stepped on my foot, and as he did, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, man. He was pretty inebriated because they were across the street getting sauced up.
Wait, Knoxville was?
Yeah,
Knoxville?
They were getting sauced up across the street before the premiere. So he's like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm like, dude, it's okay, man. I'm at your world premiere. You could step on my foot while I'm peeing anytime you want. He's like, oh, can I cup your balls too?
Oh, so you
I
let
mean,
him?
Come on.
That was pretty strong
that's
interaction.
Super Johnny Knoxville yeah. right there.
All right, that's the best restroom story so far. Let's do one call before the break again, 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Zach. He's in L.A. Line 2. Talk about a superstar next to you in the bathroom, right?
They have to put him on hold in
the other room. Oh, I'm so sorry. That was my bad. That was my bad. Let's put Zach on hold real fast.
Hey, people in the other room, how about putting Zach on hold?
Or not.
Because if they don't put him on hold, then I can't go.
We can't talk to him. Right. That's another choice.
But they're still not putting him on hold.
Boy, that would have been good, though.
It does say Justin Bieber.
It does say that, yeah.
It would have been powerful had I said, hey, let's go to Zach, and then boom, there he is on our air. Hey, let's go to Zach.
Hey,
Zach.
How you doing?
So where are you where you're sharing a restroom with the Biebs?
Yeah, so I'm at the Grove at Barnes & Noble in the restroom upstairs, like on the third floor by the Starbucks there.
And, on the left?
Allie's suggesting you're giving us too much detail. Don't need all that. All right, so you walk into the restroom and?
And I'm waiting in line. He's got his little entourage in there, and the next stall that opens up is right beside him, and like, I stand, you know, it's super awkward because you don't want to look or anything, but it's like, well, that's Justin Bieber. Like, I don't know.
Right.
And so I finish up, and he finishes up, and he walks over, and he goes right past the sink. And Buddy's like, yo, you don't wash your hands? And he's like, no, because of the immune system and stuff.
That's a great story as well.
All right, Dr. Bieber, thanks for explaining that to us. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock.
We just had a Radiohead. Let's take one call. It's Mark in Van Nuys. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good.
So you go into the restroom, and the last person you expect to see is?
I'm not actually going to the restroom. I used to work for the lighting company that provided all the lights for the Grammys.
Okay.
And at Staples Center, they wouldn't let us set up our tech area. So fix broken lights, fix broken gear in the actual mezzanine, in the walkway, whatever you want to call it.
All right, I just like to say, let's cut to the part where you run into a celebrity in a bathroom.
We're fixing lights. It's the middle of the show. Outkast has just come off stage, and we've got like 20 lights to fix to get on stage for the next
act. Here's my point. When you go to the restroom, there's a celebrity in there, and you meet that celebrity.
Well, Tony Bennett.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
Tony Bennett.
Legendary 90-year-old Tony Bennett is there, and what happens?
He trips over some of the lights we're working on, almost falls into the urinal, recovers, is very gracious, takes a leak, and walks out.
You really brought it home, Mark.
It was worth the long intro, right?
All right, right there. That part right there. That's why they got nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
There that part go. Right there?
That's it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:39. You ran into a celebrity in a restroom. It's the only place you've ever run into him, so you have to take the opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Steve from the 310 texts in, I met Kiefer Sutherland at a minor league hockey game. I asked for a picture in the bathroom, and he emphatically said no. Which, by the way, Kiefer Sutherland is absolutely the right thing to say. Some jackhole wants to take a camera with him into the bathroom. Say no. All right. Got some great calls. Let's burn through them. Let's start with Martin. He's in Sherman Oaks. Please, line 4 up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Hey, Martin.
Hey, guys. So everybody in L.A. has an Andy Dick story.
Right.
Mine takes place in the bathroom.
All right.
So I was about 13 years old, and his show that he had on ABC, I think it was like Mad City or Kale City or something, was on the air.
Don't need that information at all for this story.
Although Kale City was a great series.
That's a fish, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The reason I bring it up is I run into him in the bathroom, and I kind of recognize him. And I'm a teenager, and I don't know many celebrities. So he starts talking to me about his show. So I start trying to walk out, but he goes in to take a dump while we're still talking.
Okay.
And I try to make a graceful exit. Time, he keeps talking. As I'm trying to leave, he's trying to keep me in
the
bathroom.
Tell me you did the right thing, which is just walk out.
Yeah, eventually I just ran out.
By the way, lots of guys have run out of the bathroom when Andy Dick is in there, okay? So don't worry about it. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Anthony. Line 5, please. Los Angeles. Here's a superstar to run into.
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, guys.
Morning.
So I'm at a strip club. Me and a couple of friends are having a good time. Drinking done. I turn around. Boom. Who bumps into me? Quentin Tarantino.
Ooh.
I look up at him. I'm like, oh, man, what's going on, dude? What is it with you and women's feet? For some reason, that was the first thing that came to my head.
In other words, you had noticed a lot of feet love in his movies, and you decided it would be a good opportunity to talk to him about it?
I just heard he had a foot fetish, like with Julia, that girl, Julia whatever, in that vampire movie. And I was like, I heard Quentin's like a weird guy with women's feet. And I just popped it in my head. Right at a strip
wow,
club,
look
like,
at you asking an actual question. All of us are dumbfounded, and you've got an actual question right in the chamber.
Know. Chilling, you know, kind of a normal situation for a celebrity, I guess. You know, we're both human. We both got to take one.
Sure.
All right. So what did he say?
So he's like, it's just in my head. It's just in my DNA. I don't know it is what it is. I'm like, is that why you're here? You know?
Right. And then what did you say?
So I'm watching. I was like, I'm an ass man myself.
Right.
Okay.
And then what did he say?
Too much information. Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate that. All right. Man, we got some good ones. Kevin, let's go to Johnny in Long Beach on line 2. He ran into one of your heroes.
All right. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
You tell us.
All right, so I was at the hotel cafe, standing in line to go to the restroom, single stall, and some guy taps me on the shoulder and said, hey, mind if I cut? Tom Morello.
Ooh.
Right before his show, 10 minutes before his show starts. I'm like, sure, why not? What do you have to do, play a gig?
I mean,
there
look, you did the right thing. You didn't say that. You thought that.
I did. No, I did.
You
I
said that? That's pretty smooth.
He started laughing.
That's pretty smooth.
And he's like, you made my day. You made me laugh.
Why doesn't he have his own restroom if he's going on stage?
It was just a small little gig.
Huh. All right. I think you did the right thing. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the story, Johnny. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go out to Pasadena Line 7. While we're talking about being dumbstruck by the size of a celebrity, who'd you run into in the bathroom, Scott?
I ran into Paul McCartney.
And by the way, when I say the size of the celebrity, I just mean how famous he is.
Right,
that's
sure,
all
of course.
I'm talking about. All right, so how's
my
that go?
My eyes were fixed straight ahead. Yeah, it was crazy. I had already seen him earlier buying popcorn in front of us, and the kid selling popcorn had no idea who he was.
Is that right? Wow. Scott, I'm so glad you brought up Paul McCartney because this is what we always talk about. You have one chance, one question. You've probably have had a million thoughts about Paul McCartney and the Beatles your whole life. Now, how do you use your time?
Unfortunately, it's in the bathroom, which makes it much more awkward.
Yeah. So what do you come up with?
Absolutely nothing.
You did the right thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Scott, I wish I was you with Vin Scully so badly.
So you just let the man do his business and go about his day. You didn't bother him.
No, well, we both washed our hands. I made a quick look in the mirror just to make sure it was him.
Uh-huh.
He didn't look up. We go out. We both stand in the lobby kind of 2 feet away from each other waiting for our wives to hurry up and come out of the bathroom.
And you said women, right?
And I said nothing. Yeah, we said nothing.
How about that?
We stood there with our arms crossed.
That's remarkable self-control. Yeah. Thank you for the story, Scott. Let's go to Monique, line 8. We haven't had a lady, I think, on this whole topic.
Mm-mm. Hey, Monique.
Hi. Hello.
Who did you run into in the restroom?
Okay, so it was Courtney Love.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so my friend won tickets to breakfast with Courtney Love like years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I decided I have to go to the restroom before the show starts. So I walk into the restroom, and it's a small restroom.
No, I don't think that's where this is going, Kevin. I don't think,
yes.
No evidence to suggest that that's where the story is headed.
Just
taking care of business.
Yes.
All right. I'm sorry. I apologize for Kevin, Monique.
Oh, sorry.
I was like, what is that? Okay. So anyways, we go, and I'm using the restroom, and then all of a sudden somebody crashes in, and I see this white, flowy dress from our restroom.
Let the woman tell the story.
Somebody crashed into her stall.
She's trying to tell a story. Go ahead, Monique.
Okay.
I apologize.
Okay, so they go into the, she goes into the restroom, sits down, and she's like screaming, F, I started my period, you know? And so, as, you know, being a girl, I always have everything with me. So I was like, I have a tampon. And then I, like, she's like, can I have one? And I put it underneath the door, and she grabbed it, and I could see her dress from the bottom. It's like a long, flowy white dress. So after I was washing my hands, I saw her out, and she's like, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I got to go on stage right now. I was like, okay, cool. You know, so,
Look at that. Wow. Power happening.
Did she do any Hole songs?
Yeah, she did, actually.
Cool.
She did a lot of different ones. Yeah,
Allie,
that was pretty cool.
Really?
It was a long time ago.
I'm just wondering what song she did.
You guys were there.
We were there.
Yeah, we were there. All right, Monique, I apologize for Allie and Kevin. Thanks for calling.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Hey, thanks a lot for listening to the program. We appreciate it so much. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat now on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
I am declaring war.
Wow, declaring war already.
Yep. On Switzerland.
On Switzerland.
Those bastards.
That's the least likely country in the world that someone would declare war
that's
on.
That's how they trick you, Bean. That's how they suck you in and fool you.
But they're the, hey, we're neutral on everything. We don't get involved.
Right, exactly. That's the, smiling on the inside, evil on the outside. Smiling on the outside, evil on the inside.
But chocolate.
What have they done?
But what about chocolate?
Poor man. This poor man.
Poor man is there?
This 29-year-old man. And his girlfriend just moved to an apartment there in Zurich. And they hung an Italian flag outside his apartment because he was of Italian descent. Mm-hmm. So he was like, hey, I'm going to hang a flag outside of my apartment here in Zurich because I'm a proud of my Italian roots.
Right. And you see that in places around the world. Somebody's got some heritage. They're Mexican or they're British or whatever. Put up a little flag.
I'm fine with it.
Right.
Then he also hung out a flag with the Jack Daniels logo on it because he's a big fan of Jack Daniels. As am I.
Okay.
And that's where the fun begins. Because apparently his neighbors mistook the Jack Daniels flag for the black flag of ISIS.
Oh.
Well, then his neighbors are dumbasses.
And then he got a visit from the Swiss police. Who showed up at his door to search his apartment. And they looked at the flag. They went, oh, our bad.
It sounds racist.
Right? It's racist against Jack Daniels drinkers is what it is. And so we will not put up with this. I am banding together with our other Jack Daniels listening, drinking listeners.
But wait, didn't the story end with the police saying, oh, there's nothing here and leaving?
Too late. Okay. Harm's been done. All right. The gauntlet's been dropped,
Being
Kevin.
Being accused is enough.
This is, we will not stand. Jack Lives Matter. Starting my new protest. And so you know what? No more Toblerones. First of all, for me,
really,
you're boycotting.
I'm boycotting Toblerones.
Okay.
And other things that are Swiss.
Watches, perhaps. Watches.
Cheese.
Another good one.
Knives. Cuckoo clocks.
Knives.
Yeah. Knives. Knives with many utensils in them.
Right.
Not going to use those anymore.
Not going to use those anymore.
Wow. Okay.
Swiss Miss. Isn't that like cocoa?
It's a hot chocolate, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I won't really hurt him, though, I don't think.
You'll see.
Her name is Swiss Toblerone.
As soon as me and my friends sober up, we're gonna go to Zurich and give them a what for.
But by the time you get there, you'll forget why.
That's true. We'll be on the plane all loaded. Why? Oh, my head hurts. Why are we in Zurich? All right, let's talk show business, shall we? Bruce Springsteen, our buddy Bruce, started his first preview of his Broadway run this week. Tuesday night, he was there at the Walter Kerr Theater, and now we know what he's going to do on stage. It's a two-hour show. The New York Daily News reports it's just Bruce by himself on stage singing songs and telling stories.
Telling stories, yep.
He's going to do the same set every night of the residency, so no night will be preferred over others. They want to promise people that. He does 15 songs, and it's a two-hour show. So you do the math. 15 songs in 2 hours.
More storytelling than
a lot
songs.
Of talking. It's a lot of talking for the boss.
Well, it's a retrospective of his life, right?
Yes.
Telling stories.
Right.
We understand.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he confess to any murders on stage?
I don't know what you're talking about. I think it's ridiculous. And they've released the set list, so now we know what songs he sings.
Okay.
So some of the hits he does, Growing Up, My Hometown, Thunder Road, Born in the USA, an acoustic Born in the USA.
It's always fun.
10th Avenue Freeze Out, Brilliant Disguise, Ghost of Tom Joad, Long Walk Home, Dancing in the Dark.
Nookie.
landed.
Did it for the Nookie?
It's not his. That's his.
What?
No. Born to Run, as well as some deeper cuts as well. So a lot of people.
How are you doing on the waiting list?
I've jettisoned that.
You're out.
Premise. That's
you're not going to.
I'm going to get
he's
tickets.
Going to war with Switzerland. What are you talking about? He's got no time.
I got to suit up. I got to gear up. I got to saddle up, and then wheels up.
Ralph was on the website and got a note back that he was still in the queue. But
good luck, sucker. That's what the note I got from Ticketmaster was. Good luck, sucker.
But the weeks went by, and we're starting to think this queue's not moving.
Well, they added more shows. So there was a second email that went out and said, more good luck, sucker. But I think if I get tickets, I'm going to have to get it through a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy.
I feel like the guy from Ticketmaster really liked you and I.
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm not getting through the verified fan site any longer. Maybe I didn't do enough boners or whatever the Taylor Swift people are calling
boosts,
them.
I think boosts. Boosts, yeah. You did scream at the Ticketmaster guy who probably made the decision.
He's a tremendous douche.
Well, as long as you're comfortable with never seeing a concert again, I guess you win.
We're also on a no ticket list now.
AXS, baby. How about them?
There you go.
Are they selling them to Springsteen?
No.
Okay.
Ticketmaster, by the way, has sued a scalper.
Oh.
Sued a scalper.
Fascinating test case, I think. This is happening in New York, where they have anti-scalping laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ticketmaster is suing a company that bought close to 30,000 tickets for Hamilton's Broadway run.
Oh, my.
New York Times says that Prestige Entertainment is the name of the scalper. Aren't they adorable with the irony in that name? They had a ticket bot software that they used to purchase as much as 40% of all available seats to that show.
Now,
so
you know
how much money they were getting for Hamilton?
Yeah. $3,000 a ticket or something?
Every time you hear it's sold out for a year and a half, is this why?
Company sold them at upwards to twice the price. Yes, Kevin, this is why. So they're suing them for fraud, breach of contract, violation of New York's anti-scalping law. So we're going to wait and see.
Murder button, I say.
Wouldn't hate it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hate it if they were fire must cleanse us.
Right?
Murder.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Dylan Francis, the DJ, is 30 years old today. Actor Jesse Eisenberg is 34. Kate Winslet. Oh, I love Kate Winslet. 42. Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist and all-around good guy, 59 years old. And Brian Johnson, or as Dave the King of Mexico wrote here, Brain Johnson.
And he's still out, right?
Speaker of AC/DC.
He hasn't been welcomed back to AC/DC yet,
no
right?
He is no longer part of the band. He loomed large in their legend, but they have moved on without him at this point. He is 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Welcome to 6.7 K-Rock. It's K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show, one of our favorite times of the week. Thursdays, just after 8 o'clock, when we check in with Jim Rome.
There are so many ways to get Jim Rome in your life, including the show. Full 3 hours of great sports talk radio from 9 till noon at jimrome.com. And don't forget, now there's a standalone Jim Rome podcast. New episodes available every Tuesday on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Jim, how are you, sir?
Best morning show in the history of the world. Kevin Bean, what's up? You guys are so great. What's up?
You lie so unconvincingly, but thank you.
Love you guys. Anyway. Best show ever. In fact, best radio show in the history of the world.
Jim, we got so much, as always, to talk about, man. There's a never-ending world of sports and sports controversies. We're going to let you take the lead on explaining to listeners who maybe haven't caught up with the latest Cam Newton is a jackass story.
I can do that. So Cam Newton causing controversy at a press conference is nothing new, and he was at it again yesterday, guys, when a female reporter, Jordan Rodrigue, asked him a question about one of his receivers.
Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck-sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny. But fun is coming along.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Cam, if that's so funny, how come nobody was laughing when you said it?
Yeah.
Because it's not funny. That's why. Good question, terrible answer. I mean, why not just chase that with, the only route that you should be talking about is the one to the kitchen. Now go make me my dinner and fetch me my beer, sweetheart.
Where does Cam Newton live? In the 1950s? What's going on here, Jim?
Yeah, I can't even get my arms around it. I mean, this guy, he clearly does not get it still. The face of the franchise, a league MVP. Yeah, I mean, this guy doesn't even know the fact that women have been covering that league for longer than this guy's been alive.
Yes.
They've taken a ton of crap for it. They've had to fight for the right to do it. And I'd like to think that we were all past this, but obviously we are not.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised that he at least hasn't gotten enough media training to know, hey, I feel that way, but don't say it because it might come out wrong. Like, what?
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty naive to think that there aren't others who think it, but usually they're smart enough not to say it.
Right.
And look, I mean, this guy, and not only that, he hasn't apologized. Like, she did the right thing. She was doing her job. She found him after it happened, and then she approached him and said, hey, listen, what was that all about? Do you really think that I'm not qualified? And she said that he did not apologize at that point either. So you know what's going to happen. The team and the league are going to get to him and make him apologize. And when it happens, trust me, he will not be sorry he said it, only sorry that he's in this position.
Yeah. And by the way, not only was she doing her job and doing it well, but now the backstory on her is everybody knows how long she's been doing it and how great she is and how impeccable her credentials are. And there's 100% of everyone in the world is sticking up for her.
You know, that's all true. And I would lay it out, but I'm not going to because I wouldn't have to do that for a male counterpart. Trust me, she's qualified. She knows exactly what she's doing. It was a good question and a really bad answer. And once again, another bad look for Cam Newton.
All right, fair enough. Hey, coming up in about 20 minutes on the Kevin Bean Show, we're going to be talking to Ned Colletti, the former general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He was not able to win a World Series in his 9 years with the club. How's it going to change with him gone and another shot at it starting tomorrow night, Jim?
Well, if you saw that game last night, they've got the Diamondbacks, and that is the last team that they want to see this time of year because Arizona won the season series against L.A. They beat them 6 times in a row to end that series, and Arizona's got no pressure. They're playing with house money. All the pressure's on the Dodgers. I mean, if you win 104 games in the regular season, they put you on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and they ask, best team ever. But if you lose in the NLDS, it's one of the biggest disasters ever. So Ned, I'm sure, will answer this, but I don't know if the Dodgers win this series, but I know they better not lose it. Wait, how about this? Five straight division titles in this town doesn't mean jack, yeah. And neither will those 104 wins if they get punked by Arizona.
Let me ask you a question, a follow-up question, though, Jim, and that's how many teams, like the Dodgers, have what it takes to not only get to the World Series, but win the World Series? Is it 3 or 4, or is it...
At this
one
point
or two,
during the
many?
Year, no, it's not 102. But
one or two. I'm saying
Yes. I mean, look, once you get to this time of year, it's kind of a crapshoot anyway, right? So if you look at the way it stacks up, they've got it. Cleveland looks great. The Yankees are going to give them all the trouble they have. And the Diamondbacks are loaded. The one thing LA does have going for them, though, last night they had to burn through both their first and second starting pitchers. Arizona did to advance. So that's going to work in LA's favor, and you have to think Clayton Kershaw is going to get his. I think it's going to be all right, but it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't.
You know, it's so funny how different I feel about tomorrow night and the postseason in general because I just so recently saw that Dodger collapse where they lost, like, what, 17 out of 18 games. So we know they're
16
not
of 17.
Yeah, we know
right.
They're not infallible. We know that they can fall apart when the pressure's on, and that's the only thing that worries me. But if they can go back to the way they were for the first 6 months of the year, we're fine.
Well, yeah, exactly. Which team are they? I mean, they're the only team in history to win 16 of 17, but lose 16 of 17 in the same year. That is not easy to do. Hey, Allie, is your mic turned off? Are you allowed to talk?
I'm here.
Oh, hi, Allie.
How you doing?
Good. You?
Pretty good, yeah.
Good.
What are you wearing?
Go Ducks. Did you just say, what am I wearing?
I did.
Anyway, what's poppin', Twitter? Got a pair of nice slacks on. I kind of went business casual because I knew you'd like
Did
it
you?
Like that, Allie.
Okay, yeah.
Wow, Allie, what are you wearing?
I mean, it was weird, so
thanks
I just wrote
Wow,
it.
Allie, turn the mic
in.
Off.
Right?
Why is her mic on anyway?
Sometimes that's not good.
What are you wearing?
One more topic, and that is...
Don't you go sliding into my DMs either, Allie. Blocked. Unfollow.
I tend to...
What am I wearing?
To look away anytime there's a LeVar Ball story. Should I care about what he's doing with his youngest here?
So what he's doing with his youngest is he's going to homeschool his youngest now. Had a problem with the coach, pulled the kid out of school, and he's going to homeschool him. You know, ordinarily I would say, I don't want anybody telling me how to raise my kid, so I'm not going to tell anybody how to raise theirs. But the really weird thing is, maybe the guy's a pretty good dad. Like, his oldest son was the second pick in the NBA draft, and everybody loves him. His middle kid is at UCLA, and his third kid is already admitted or committed to UCLA. If any of us had three kids who turned out like that, people would be like, damn, they've got their bleep together. This guy does it, and it's like, wow, he's out of control, and he's got really yellow teeth. That's not even me, by the way. Every time he comes up in the news, all of my listeners hammer me with that. I'm like, I don't care what color his teeth are, really. Why does that keep coming
up? But almost every other example that you could give, if kids come up right, the parents are sort of in the background, and they're being good parents in
like,
the background.
Like Venus and Serena's dad. You don't see him all the time spouting about how great his kids are.
In this particular case, he's an asshole in public.
Well, bro, did you just say that?
I mean,
he
yes.
Did.
Boy, we're having a morning. She wants to know what I'm wearing. You just went with an a-hole bomb. You know, he actually, Venus and Serena's dad was not in the background. He was front and center, yeah, and then he stepped aside. But everybody thought that he was crazy, and the two of them seemed to turn out pretty well.
Yeah.
So, hey, look, this guy's going to make it about him, but I don't know these kids well enough to know, but they don't seem like they're really jacked up or maladjusted or resentful. I think that he's doing a pretty good job. I wouldn't do it that way myself. Hell, I can't even help my kids with their own homework. How do you teach them a whole high school curriculum?
And it's not like people need to see him playing in high school in order for him to go to college. As you pointed out, people already want him. So
no, he will be playing 5-on-5 on some level. Trust me, he'll be playing.
All right,
he'll be playing.
Great stuff. Jim Rome, 9 to noon, jimrome.com, and don't forget the new podcast is great, you guys. Jim, he's not constrained by the clock. You can just have conversations with fascinating people every week. The new episodes drop every Tuesday. At iTunes, Google Play, and so much more. Jim, we love you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you guys. You're the best. Bye.
Yes. 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 Right? Yes. Woo! Right?
Right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 824.
Now, this doesn't happen very often, but Kevin said, Bean, you don't get any paperwork on this.
Right.
You don't get to know about it in advance.
Right.
Just settle in.
Right.
Sit back and enjoy, because I'm going to rock your world.
Now, sometimes you accuse me of being a little close-minded.
Okay.
I have my mind made up before I hear the information. Sometimes that's my problem. And mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, at first, this might strike you that way. It's possible that your first reaction will be, no!
Okay. But so it may sound like a terrible idea first thing, but if I listen to what you have to say,
correct,
you feel like I'll turn around on it.
I feel like you might come around on it if you're open-minded about it, but don't be closed-minded at the beginning.
Okay. What do you got?
Japanese porn stars.
I mean, so far I'm
in. So far you're in,
so far I got no problem with this at all.
Right? Japanese porn stars, three of them.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if you know their work. Reno Aihara. Miu Akemi, and I'm sure I'm saying this correctly, and Meru Irohu.
I don't.
Are you
but
familiar with them at all?
I don't, but I'm setting up Google Alerts for each of them right now.
A trio of Japanese porn stars are to star in a bizarre new theater show. Okay, so they're going to do it in a theater live in front of a crowd.
All right.
Where they will fart in front of an audience.
No, no.
See, I knew that would be your first reaction.
No.
Live on stage.
Live on stage.
Uh-huh.
They're going to do a show.
Okay.
And they're going to be, as it says in the audience, in the article, a breaking wind.
Just on cue?
It's called Let's All Hear Beautiful Girls Fart Together.
Let the Fart Festival begin.
That's the name of
it. Is that the working title?
No, that's the name of it. It's at the Lefkada Theater in Tokyo.
Let's All Hear Beautiful Girls Fart Together.
Is the name of it.
Why does this exist? Is it a competition?
It's not a competition.
Are they playing songs? Is it a musical act?
Well, I mean, I think I'll just explain it to you a little bit later in depth. But according to the news organization that we got this from, the organizers want to bring joy to Japan's, and this is their estimate, 120 million fart fans.
No, no, no. How was that number arrived at?
And 20 million of them.
And who did the survey, and how was it phrased?
It's going to take place at the Tokyo Theater October 21st. Plenty of time to get there, Bean.
Okay.
I'd say we send Bean.
No.
Yeah, I think he'd like it.
Broadcast live. Maybe a little review. Maybe talk to the women afterwards.
Guys, I don't find farts funny.
But this isn't comedy. This is sexy.
This is dramatic farting.
It's dramatic and sexy, both.
I want to know.
But however, the tickets cost 20
yen?
Whatever they have, sure. And show bosses have also warned customers to beware of disappointment.
Oh.
Depending on their physical condition.
So they may not be up to...
Impossible for them to fart no matter how hard they try.
Oh, I see.
So now you're buying a ticket to three porn stars
doing a fart show who may not be able to fart.
Oh, that's rough.
Can't they bring in some ringers, like some guaranteed farters?
I hate that you said ringers.
Maybe like backstage, some professionals on a mic.
Oh, there they
and
go.
And then they could just lip sync it.
They can lip sync it, right.
I hate that you said lip sync.
Just b-hole sync it.
What are they? I need to know the format of the show. Does one fart and then the other one try to fart more and then the third one tries to beat them both?
Or? You're in luck because we have a little audio.
Oh.
They're already in rehearsals.
Oh, no.
And we have a little audio.
No.
Of the trio of Japanese adult film stars.
Oh, why did I ask?
That are going to fart on the theater in Tokyo. Are you ready? And then we're going to send Bean.
No.
It's October 21st. Mm-hmm. He's going to be thrilled. He's going to say, I originally thought this was horrible,
yeah.
But I can't believe I'm telling you this now. This is great.
I not only don't want to go to that, I don't want to hear whatever it is you're about to play.
Oh, but you do, I believe. No. Come on. Please stop. Don't do that.
We have Omar to blame for this.
Oh, I know they're good.
Okay. I want my money back. I wish I'd never gotten into radio.
It sounds pretty entertaining, right?
I wish I was never born.
That's what we're saying. It sounds pretty entertaining, right?
No, that's not what we're saying.
LNOC's alternative rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:50.
Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up just after 9 here on K-Rock. And more chances for you to win tickets to join us on Foosday for our breakfast with Foo Fighters here on the Kevin and Bean Show, huh?
I mean, maybe if you just threw it away, it would be better.
Really?
Yeah, instead of taking a big beat.
Too much emphasis.
Yeah, way too much emphasis.
Bad delivery? Good countdown.
I mean, maybe.
And we'll also throw in some Cal Jam 17 tickets. Your chance to win is coming up in minutes. Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Mama, make it stop.
You're not down with Foosday? Foosday!
It sounds like Tuesday.
You don't get it.
Oh,
you don't
thanks,
get
Allie,
it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Geez, well, it's right before Friday, so I guess it all.
No, no, sir.
What's the difference?
Nope.
What's the difference?
Nope.
Same. All bad.
The difference is this might happen once, and then we're going to move on.
Really? You think it's going to happen once? You don't think every time we play a food song on a Tuesday,
Rain
name's going to come out of the thing?
Rain Man will come back with
right.
it. Right. Yeah, you're right.
This is the Kevin DeVito on a Tuesday. Give us that delivery and we'll have to live with it.
Look, I'm just...
You missed the other room. When Bean's in town, it's always a special adventure.
And by that, you mean a lot of fun.
Because you get bonus Bean. And so he was talking about his Sundays. What? Tell us what you said about Sunday there, Rain Man.
I don't know that it's important for
it
on
important.
The air.
It's very important.
Ralph's asking on the air, so...
Say what you said about your Sundays.
I just have a standing breakfast appointment every Sunday morning at 7:30. I meet my friend Marty for breakfast. That's all.
Every Sunday, 7:30 breakfast. Every Sunday, Marty breakfast. Every Sunday, 7:30, definitely 7:30, definitely at 7:30.
Same restaurant, I assume.
Of course,
same table, I assume.
Same table, same seat, yeah. same order.
Same order.
The cook makes my food as I walk in the door. I don't even have to order. It's great.
That's real early.
7:30 is late for me though. I'm always up. Just saying. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz
Beat. You're missing the point though. Who knows what time they have a meal every week? It's bad enough anyone has a meal the same day every week, but the time?
The time is whenever you roll around and
right,
feel
when you
like,
roll into the restaurant.
7:30 on the dot.
Look, yeah, definitely 7:30.
7:29, 7:31, no.
Uh-oh, 7:31, uh-oh. Marty, where's Marty? Definitely not Marty. Definitely not breakfast with Marty. 7:31.
I like a schedule.
Oh, bathwater burnt baby.
I like a schedule. What's wrong with that?
Do you set an alarm or do you just wake up for
no,
it?
No, I'm up. I'm up by 6 on the weekends.
Wow.
Body clock, you know.
What do you do at 6 every time?
Here's
on
Ralph.
The weekend.
Now it's time
6
for
6 a.m. when you get up, first thing, what do you do?
Hits the weights, first of all.
And then the heavy bag.
Right.
And then treadmill.
A couple rounds with his trainer. They do some sparring. Then 3 or 4 miles. Then 7:30, it's breakfast with Marty.
Breakfast with Marty. But by then, I've earned it.
Yeah, sure. Coldplay, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
They're so good.
They
Coldplay's
are.
Playing at the Rose Bowl tomorrow. And you're like, oh, I wish I had tickets. It's tomorrow at the Rose Bowl. What if I were to give you
Yay!
A pair of tickets? See Rose Bowl, Coldplay, tomorrow.
Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com, but why buy them when you can win them with the simple answer to a trivia question? If you're a Coldplay fan, you should know this.
All right.
First, two people, let's say, who get through at 1-800-520-1067 with the correct answer will get a pair of tickets to see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl. Here's your trivia question. Coldplay is the name of the band.
True.
True.
That is true. Ah, but where did it come from? Where did the name Coldplay come from?
Count Smokula.
Count Smokula did not name them Coldplay. No, there's a very specific origin to the name Coldplay.
That's a giraffe's name.
It's not a giraffe's name. And we'd like to have you answer with 1-800-520-1067. First two people who can answer where the name Coldplay came from will win tickets. Apparently, Kelly Ripa's hard to deal with.
Really?
The word on the street.
Really?
Ryan Seacrest was all set to appear on Good Morning America yesterday.
Mm-mm. Now, he's Kelly's co-host now on that show, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I just want to make sure that happened. That's already started. So it's Ryan and Kelly in the morning, so they have a show together. And
you
then
used to watch that show every day. How are you not watching?
I don't anymore. Regis was the draw for me, you know?
Sure. You watched with Michael, though, too. Michael Strahan was her co-host.
I know, but I miss Regis.
Just move on.
I'm not going to watch it for Seacrest, for God's sake.
So he's going on to pimp
American Idol.
American Idol, which is going to be on ABC now, right?
Right.
And, well, he had to cancel his appearance. Because according to the New York Post, Kelly Ripa threw an S-fit when she found out that he was going to make an appearance because Michael Strahan, her former co-host, is now one of the anchors on Good Morning America.
And it's,
you're not going to go see my old co-host with my current co-host. It's like going to see an ex-girlfriend or something.
What's wrong with her?
So do they have a blood feud or something
now?
Yeah,
Michael and Kelly did not get along, especially there at the end. A lot of bad blood. And so Ryan wants to stay on the good side of Kelly Ripa before she becomes Jack the Ripa. You know what I'm saying? And so he canceled his appearance rather than to incur
her
wrath.
That's insane.
You do not want to make her angry.
You see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
Right.
Isn't that, in the name of corporate synergy, Kelly has to understand, hey, look, American Idol coming back is a big deal. We got a lot of money invested.
No, there's Bean with his logic.
You
here
put it on Good Morning America to promote it.
Emotions are at play, sir. Emotions
and
are at play.
And it's good for the Ryan and Kelly show, the bigger and the more popular Ryan Seacrest is. It's good for her, ultimately.
I don't think you understand.
She is a woman
scorned.
The more
popular her co-host is.
Uh-huh.
Angrier Kelly Ripa is.
Mm-hmm.
People loved Michael Strahan.
Mm-hmm.
It killed her.
But it's got to be about Kelly.
But it's ultimately good for the show.
No, I don't think you quite understand egos of television people.
Okay.
Or emotions.
Or
of any kind.
Or humans.
Yeah. But Ryan needs to grow a pair, really.
Right?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Right? He's saying no because of that?
Give me a break.
But I don't think he wants to sabotage his everyday work environment for the sake of American Idol.
Something else will come up.
Yes, it will.
But look, you postpone that storm as long as possible. You don't want to incur the wrath. You don't want to push the buttons.
The inevitable.
Right,
so,
but while you're postponing, at least you have the postpone time.
I guarantee.
Ugly divorce coming between these two?
No, not for a while. But I think he's a lot more valuable to that network than she is.
Right? Oh, how dare you come at the Ripa.
Just by saying that now, you're going to cause a whole storm.
It's okay.
Well, I hope nothing tears them apart. The Ripa and the tearing. The Ripa and the tearing.
I mean,
file.
That was what you did the story for. That. Right?
That's bullshit.
No, that wasn't what I did the story for. Came to me in a moment of inspiration. Hey, I'm talking. Turn the phone off.
Sorry. It's not me. It's Eris.
Speaking of American Idol, they have their judge. They have all their judges.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the third one they had to pay nothing?
Lionel Richie. Lionel Richie has been added to the mix. And I'm surprised that he would do it for so little money. Although I know... when they play his music on the radio, he gets a little something, right?
That's one for Burtonsville, for Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
Right.
Come on.
Come on,
you. Come on us.
You come on. We didn't do it.
Anyway, he's upset. He's upset because his daughter, Sophia Richie, is dating Scott Disick. Wouldn't you be upset?
Yes.
His 19-year-old daughter is dating 34-year-old deadbeat loser father of three, Scott Disick.
That's got to hurt.
Oh.
Look, if you're any kind of father, you just put a stop to it, right? You just march down to the sock warehouse or wherever he's working. I don't know what he does.
Sock warehouse.
That's the other one. That's Rob. I don't know what Scott does for a living. But you go
there
and you put an end to it.
He drinks for a
living.
Well,
then
you go to the bar.
You go to the bar and then you put an end to it. And if she gets angry at you, she gets angry. So be it. But you don't let
fire must cleanse us.
Date Scott Disick.
No, you don't.
When all he does is nothing and put babies in people.
Right.
That's all he does. Right?
Right.
All right. Then let's get a posse. Let's go. Let's straighten things out for Lionel's sake.
Right.
He'll be so happy, he'll be dancing on the ceiling by the time we're done with it.
Come on, man. Come on.
We can call him the phone. We go, hello, Lionel? Do we have an answer to my trivia question? I think Ares. Ares is calling from Woodland Hills. He may know where the name Coldplay comes from for that band Coldplay. Ares?
Yes?
Do you know the origin of the name Coldplay?
It comes from a book of poems.
You're absolutely right. It comes from a collection of poetry called Child's Reflections, Coldplay. That's where it came from. You're right. We're going to give you tickets to see them at Rose Bowl tomorrow.
Yes!
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details. And Melissa from Huntington Beach is also our winner. Thank you, Melissa, for calling in with the correct answer. Today's celebrity birthday is Brian Johnson of AC/DC fame is 70 years old today. Neil deGrasse Tyson turns 59. Kate Winslet's 42. Jesse Eisenberg celebrates his 34th birthday. And Dylan Francis, the DJ, is 30. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I always get a little nervous when Dr. Drew actually shows up in the room.
Right, you guys look all great. You look all healthy. Everybody looks good.
Why do you get nervous, Kevin?
He's not making eye contact with me either.
I feel like there's an intervention coming. And there's other people coming through the door. And then everybody's going to tell me how much damage I've done to
them. There's a mat on the floor where Kevin lies down.
I'm a mess. I'm a bit of a mess.
And there's all this there's like a ring of garbage
all right,
around
take
where his
it
body
easy.
Lies. You see it? Like there's literally like a murder scene out.
That's what it looks
body,
like. You're not wrong.
By papers and peanut shells.
You're very perceptive, doctor. I got to give it to you.
That's my fear.
How are you, sir? Good to see you.
I have a cold, but I was driving through. I've got to get to Santa Monica this morning. I said, I'm going to get in the studio this morning and do this.
I'm glad you did. And I think that this is the, let's face it, Dr. Drew is America's doctor, you guys. He's the one that we go to for all of our questions. And now is a time, more than it has been in a long time, doctor, where we need your counsel on this because the nation is hurting.
Yes.
And I don't want to get all serious about this, but it is a serious topic because beyond the people who were shot, there are reverberations throughout for all of us.
Well, and strangely, it's maybe more so than ever because we all literally witnessed it within minutes of the actual event. Like when the poor people, when the people that were actually the victims were experiencing it, we were watching it on people's cell phones 5 minutes later. And
that
flip me out. I was deeply affected by that.
Yeah, it was it was a live crime scene unfolding in real time, and we just, in horror, felt so helpless.
Yeah,
and you couldn't believe
how bad
it was.
I also felt weakened by Mexico and then Puerto Rico. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. We already were knocked down.
I already felt weak, and then that happened. I was like, holy crap.
All this acrimony and stuff in the country already. I mean, you hope this will kind of pull us together a little bit. It's potential to do that, and that's how you get through traumas like this, is with other people, by pulling together, by using others, being of service to others, making a sense of it. Being, you used a word there that is the important word, which is helplessness. That is the key feature of trauma, is you feel helpless.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's so intense, it sort of shatters your brain's ability to regulate, and then you come out of that with, you know, your autonomic nervous system sort of geared up, and you can't sleep, and you have thoughts of it, and it's
unpleasant. Is there such thing as an appropriate response? There's no one-size-fits-all for this. People are going to react in lots of different ways. Some people will be mad. Some people will fall apart. Some people will want to ignore it. Is there such thing as a healthy way to deal?
What should we be doing? The healthiest and simplest way is to make a gratitude list. Think about things you're grateful for. Allie, I'm looking at you. And so I don't know why.
It's freaky when he comes in studio.
Like it's because you're grateful for me?
Yes, I'm grateful for your presence here, yes. But being grateful for what we do have and our health and your family and maybe expressing that and then trying to be of service. It reminds us. I mean, the fact that the community pulled together in Las Vegas and then gave blood and did things, very
I try to highlight that kind of stuff. Like after every single tragedy, it's amazing how people pull together and what people do.
Well, after 9/11, I spent a little bit of time on Manhattan in New York, and that I still have get emotional when I think about that week. A couple weeks afterwards, it was so intense the way people came together and we just looked to each other and just shared our feelings about what had just happened. And the same thing is true with this thing.
Let me ask you this, Doctor, and I'm going to be completely honest here because I have very conflicted feelings about this.
It's a rare moment. Bean's going to be honest.
Yeah. I keep seeing, and I understand why they do it, and I think it's beautiful that they are trying to highlight the victims.
Yeah.
And the social media is flooded with, this is a Manhattan Beach nurse practitioner who everyone loved, and she couldn't have been sweeter. And and you want to read that and appreciate her, but it makes it so much harder.
Yes, the closer you get, the more painful it becomes.
And I feel bad because my tendency is to not want to see the obituaries of 59 innocent people.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
It's too much.
It's too much.
It's too much. And it's okay. That's okay.
It is okay.
Your job is not to traumatize yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Your job is to go, I'm so grateful, express it to people, and then make a difference. Do something.
All right. Last question on this. Then we're going to tell you about a very cool event that Dr. Drew is doing tomorrow night.
And people do also want to know about this guy, the guy that does lots of questions.
Yeah.
That stuff.
Why? Well, we were having a conversation off air today. There's no answer that anyone will ever come up with, even if they do figure out why he did it, that will make us understand it.
Yes. Do not expect to understand what goes on in the mind of a killer. That's the wrong question. Here's what goes on in the mind.
We'll never know.
Here's what goes on in his mind. He wanted to kill a bunch of people. It's a very unsatisfying thing. So, I'm on the top of my list. I'm afraid we're going to find medication or drugs. I heard that the Valium was involved or something, but we'll see. I mean, that should not necessarily do this. I got a feeling he's a chronic, compensated psychopath.
Really?
Yeah, who was sort of had it kind of held it together. The dad was a psychopath, a bank robber. And that's a genetic thing. That tends to get passed along.
And he's a former IRS agent, so I think you read a lot into that.
And he sort of held it together, and then something, you know, usually when they flip because of a psychological problem, it's in their 30s and 40s. So that's what makes me think he's only 65. Some medical or drug-related
thing.
Well,
let me ask you this, because this morning I saw a report that he also rented a room outside of Lollapalooza, and life is beautiful.
Like he was getting ready to do it somewhere else, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
It doesn't seem like he snapped.
Well,
it was definitely premeditated.
Let's put it this way. I have a feeling this is the kind of thing that he's been thinking about since he was a kid.
Oh, really?
Some sort of weird, you know, like an adolescent weird fantasy.
He always sort of knew he was heading there?
But then I think something pushed him into action. Something. And I don't think it's psychological.
Is it a power, like God complex type thing?
No. It's hard, again, don't to try to make a psychological construct out of it.
All right, here's my question for you, Dr. Drew. Is he, by definition, is somebody who would kill 60 random unknown people mentally ill?
Not in the way we think about sort of axis one diagnosable mental illness. It's usually white males, usually in their 30s and 40s, usually with chronic personality disorders, but not mental illness per se. We just call that axis two. And psychopathy is one of those axis two kinds of phenomena.
Dr. Rupinsky, drdrew.com for all the podcasts, live appearances, and more. And you've got a very special one coming up tomorrow night. You're going to be in Santa Monica at the New Rhodes School, the Ann and Jerry Moss Theater at the New Rhodes Schools, with a very special guest and a very interesting topic.
Yes, Russell Brand has a new book, and his book is excellent. It's one of the best books in recovery I've ever read.
What do celebrities know about medicine?
No, he really is good, and he talks about stuff that needs to be talked about, which is people, there's a lot of, oh my God, the poor opiate addicts, oh, the poor cheerleaders, not sure. The disease of opiate addiction turns you into an a-hole, and it makes you a criminal sometimes. And he talks about that experience and how you break through that, and I think it's very productive. Also, he and I will be doing a podcast about 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. Look for that on my Facebook page.
We'll
push it out.
Fun. Is there something new to be said on addiction, or is the point that you want to talk as much about it as you can because it might hit a different person?
You know, Bean, it's a crazy question because people are constantly looking for something new, but I'm telling you, our old techniques and 12-step and all these things really work. People just have to do them, and they take time, and they're intensive.
Why are they discounted so quickly?
They've been under attack forever because it's a hard thing. People have to want to get better, and we feel like we should make them better.
But you go 12-step, and they go, all right, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's hard. And people want to take a pill. And look, there are intermediate things to be done. There are other things to be done. And cognitive behavioral therapy, that's new. Not new anymore, but that works.
Okay.
But there are other things to be done. But still, the old things are free. They're free. You can get them for free.
Well,
and you don't have to go to a hospital. You can go get it right now. You go to a meeting right now. But you have to do the work, and it's hard.
Do you think it makes it more difficult for a person like Russell Brand, who's famous? And probably has a lot of time off and a lot of money.
Treated a lot of those guys, and they have special concerns. The biggest problem they usually get into is they want to go back to work too quick. That's the biggest issue.
And then there are
some legitimate anonymity issues. But there are meetings all over this town where people protect Joe's anonymity.
Russell Brand's book is called Recovery, Freedom from Our Addictions. Dr. Drew says it's real good.
It's very good.
And you can see Drew and Russell in conversation tomorrow night in Santa Monica and get the tickets and information at drdrew.com. Hey, feel better, man. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, guys.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Hey, one more time, you guys. Ralph Garman is here, and it's time for a final look at Showbiz Beat for a Thursday morning.
Just as a quick aside, this McDonald's Szechuan sauce.
Not doing it for you?
It's a phenomenon. It's great. It's an international phenomenon that I just don't understand the phenomenon behind.
Okay.
Is this the one that came back because of Rick and Morty?
Rick and Morty, yeah. They brought it back into the public eye, and then it's become an obsession with some people.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently McDonald's has now caved to public pressure, and they're going to bring back Szechuan sauce for one day.
Okay.
It's going to come back for one day, and a limited number of locations will offer the Szechuan sauce when you order a 6 or 10-piece order of their crispy tenders.
Okay.
So you have to go to a website to find out which stores offer it on Saturday, October 7th at 2 p.m., and it's for dine-in orders only. You can't get it at the drive-thru.
I go there a lot. There's a decent chance I'm going to be at one.
So you'll go there.
It's a lot of hoops, Ralph, for Szechuan sauce.
Yeah, it is. And for a packet of sauce, too, by the way. You make people do a lot of things for a lot of little.
And by the way, it's a free item, right?
Yeah, they're not making anything on it. Huh. I guess they're just using the publicity to try to drive people back into McDonald's. For Kevin, who's there every day.
He's there anyway, right. The scarcity makes things valuable to some people, and that's why they go berserk for the McRibs when they're available. Even though if the McRibs were available all the time, some of those people would never eat McRibs. But because they're only around for a week, I got to have it.
You're so wrong. I would eat those goddamn McRibs.
Well, obviously they've decided that they don't want it to be a year-round item for some reason.
Because there's only so many. There's only one time of the year where they can harvest the ribs.
That's not true.
That is.
That isn't how it works at all.
If you've ever been on a rib farm, you know they don't grow year-round, Bean. Why don't you open up a blog?
Right. And I'd also like to say on the scarcity
tip. Same with shamrocks. You can't make shamrocks into the shakes. But once a year when the shamrock crop is creamiest. That's when you have to scoop the shamrock cream off the top
to make the shake, right? Tied to St. Patrick's Day. But my point is...
That's the grossest thing you said.
Allie knows. Allie knows about shamrock cream.
Yeah, she does.
You know about the shamrock cream.
I mean, I do like Irish,
that whole Boston thing, right?
You know,
yeah.
Right? My point is that if pumpkin spice were available year-round at Starbucks, nobody would be excited about it. Nobody would care. Nobody would get them.
That's because pumpkin spice sucks.
A lot of people like it.
Brooke Shields.
Right?
Has confessed on Andy Cohen's Watch What Happens Live show that she was hit on by President Trump during one of the times he was a bachelor in between marriages.
That isn't good for you.
Apparently this was right after he divorced Marla Maples.
Oh, I'm surprised he wasn't still married.
He hit on her. Well, I'm sure he would have been if the timing was right. Brooke said he called her up and said, "I really think we should date because you're America's sweetheart and I'm America's richest man and the people would love it."
Really? He didn't even try to make it.
That was the line.
The people would love it.
The people.
Really?
The people would love it.
People would love it.
I have the best relationships. Everybody loves them. A lot of people are saying they're the best.
Hmm.
So she turned him down. Yeah. Brooke turned him down.
Weird.
Weird that she turned him down.
That is something.
Did he hang up on her?
He did not hang up on her. As rude as Donald Trump is, as caustic and as rude a man he is.
Okay.
As lacking in the social graces as Donald Trump is known to be. As a man who will grab a woman's private parts, he was still decent enough, Chip, to not hang up on Brooke Shields. I can't imagine what kind of person would. What kind of man would hang up on sweet America's sweetheart, couldn't not be nicer, butter wouldn't melt in her mouth, Brooke Shields.
And while she is complimenting
no one I can think of would do that. Let me follow
Ms. Shields on Twitter at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, guys. I listen when I'm in LA. I listen to you guys.
I started a commercial. She was still talking. That was a mistake.
Poor Brooke.
I wasn't me being bad. It was me being bad.
You broke
not
her heart. You broke her heart.
I broke my heart as well, and now we keep playing it.
Poor Brooke.
You're saying I'm worse
Kevin,
than Donald Trump?
God damn it.
That's what you guys are saying?
Yeah. Worse? Yeah.
I mean, you can draw your own conclusions. One of you hung up on her, the other one didn't.
Just saying. Will Ferrell's got a new comedy.
Great, I'm in.
In all Spanish, I hope.
Oh, wasn't that great? I love that film. Casa de mi Padre. It's called No Activity. It's going to be CBS's All Access streaming service. It's going to be a film starring himself and Jake Johnson and Amy Sedaris and J.K. Simmons.
Wow.
And just add to the cast, Tim Meadows.
It's got me with the title. No Activity sounds like it's made for me.
Yeah, it really is.
Perfect.
And now, Tim Meadows, by the way, is a guy who I don't think gets nearly enough work. I love him.
He's very funny.
And he's been so funny on the season premiere episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the first couple of those this season. And he was so funny as a very helpful cannibal who was in prison with Jake for murder.
Hey, he's not defined by being a cannibal,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. But it was a very funny role, and he's terrific, and I'm glad to see you.
Now, Allie's rolling her eyes because...
Oh, what happened
because
now?
Are we going to have to now subscribe to CBS All Access?
I mean, as a CBS employee, we should get it for free.
I don't
just
think
wait 5 minutes.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, right?
How about as an ex-CBS employee?
No, it's too much. It's too many... I can't...
I mean, there is a limit to how many things
yes,
you can pay for
CBS
every month.
CBS is my limit. I'm not doing it. Less.
All right.
All right.
But what if you got bonus episodes of Blue Bloods?
Oh, blah, blah.
Oh, blah, blah.
Now you're in.
Mm. Maybe less than 5 minutes now.
Yeah.
And Kevin, I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Oh,
it's just announced.
Starting early.
Just announced. The Sgt. Pepper Jukebox. Knowing your love for the Beatles, it's a Sgt. Pepper jukebox.
I don't really...
It's an officially licensed Sgt. Pepper-designed jukebox.
Not a fan.
That holds 70 45 singles. They can play both the A and B sides of all your 45s. First of all, I know you love collecting 45s.
I do.
You love the Beatles, and a Sgt. Pepper jukebox can be yours. For the low price of...
Any guesses? $19.99?
Oh, no. A mere $12,000.
Oh, my gosh.
$12,000 will get you this limited edition jukebox that you can have in your home playing your 45s.
That seems way more expensive than it ought to be.
I think you're right.
You know what, Ralph? I'm going to save you that money.
Arrived in America.
The Beatles, yeah. Right.
Really changed our lives. Yeah, I mean, look. We grew hair when the Beatles were on television.
We were all bald, right?
We started bands.
Right, there were no bands.
Started dressing cooler.
We had no clothes.
But before all that happened, there was news about the Beatles. It was John F. Kennedy was really put everybody in a sad position.
Yeah, that bastard.
And then the Beatles arrived and sort of changed everybody's lives.
Right.
Basically.
So yeah, go ahead and get that jukebox, it sounds like.
$12,000? Bargain.
We'll save you $12,000 there, Ralph. I don't need that
for an archaic technology that no one uses anymore. You don't want something you play your 45s on that costs $12,000?
I don't have a 45, let alone...
You don't have a record player?
No.
Interesting.
I don't.
Why is that interesting?
I don't know.
It's the 21st century. Well, I would think it would be more interesting if he had a record player.
A lot of people, especially people...
Oh, here we go, a lot of people again. You are the Trump.
He's the Donald Trump of our show, yeah.
You really are.
Yeah, he is.
A lot of people are saying 45.
He starts...
are the best way to listen to
every
music.
Every third sentence starts with a lot of people.
Look, Ralph, you've seen the stories on how big vinyl is.
Some people listen to vinyl.
But a lot of people who are really into music, and especially people in the music industry, they have albums that they love, and they enjoy listening to them on a turntable.
Would you say I'm that guy?
Well, apparently not. But I'm saying I wouldn't have been surprised if you were that guy, if you had a turntable. It wouldn't have surprised me. That's all. I didn't know. Ralph, it wouldn't surprise me if you had a turntable.
I don't have a
I can see you going home and pulling out a...
No, you can't see me doing that because I don't do it. So there's no way for you to see that happening.
Okay. Why do some people tune out?
A lot of people take a bag of candy corn and put it aside for the summer.
Thank you, Mr. President. You're correct.
And we know Justin Timberlake's going to be performing at the halftime of the Super Bowl.
Boo.
And although they were saying there would be no guest stars, they didn't want anybody worrying about another... nip slip from Janet Jackson.
Sure.
It looks like there may be some guest stars. Okay. Allie?
Allie?
Is it?
Is it?
Allie?
Is it?
Is it?
Is it? Give me Brit Brit.
No.
Oh. That was awful.
I thought you were onto something.
I really thought that they would come out together. They've been talking about working on new music together, maybe wearing the Canadian tuxedo outfits again.
That would be great.
Joey Fatone.
I think you misread that.
Has been saying that the guys
have
been talking, and it looks like there may be an NSYNC reunion at the Super Bowl with Justin and the fellas hanging out.
That is what they did with Beyonce's performance. Remember, they brought out the Destiny's Child for part of the
and then
medley.
Neither of their mics worked.
Right?
Or did they?
Right?
Exactly.
Right?
Right. Do it now.
How much is Joey Fatone just, he's crossing everything he's got. Yep. Just, he's calling every day. Hey, JT. Yeah, it's Joe.
I know, so I just talked to you yesterday.
About that thing, about that idea. Any further thoughts on that, buddy? Okay, look, no, it's cool. I'll get back to you. Click.
I'm going to say it right now.
All right.
Brittany will perform.
Oh, my
with
Lord.
With Justin.
Let go of this obsession.
It's going to happen. I feel it in my bones.
You know what? If it doesn't, we'll all be fine.
I feel it in my plums.
Now, would you want Christina also? Would you want it to make it a whole Disney reunion thing?
No.
You don't care about Christina.
Ryan Gosling's going to come out. What's wrong with you?
No, but Christina and Brittany and Justin, they're all Mickey Mouse kids, right?
We don't need that.
Okay.
So is Ryan Gosling.
Tune out.
He's not real as well known as a singer. That's all.
A lot of people know Ryan Gosling.
Yes. Thank you.
It's one of the Mouseketeers.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
It's Thursday.
Today's celebrity birthday is Brain Johnson. It says here on my sheet, Brain Johnson of AC/DC is 70 years old.
Dave may have met
today.
Brian.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist extraordinaire, is 59 years old. Kate Winslet's 42. Jesse Eisenberg's 34. And DJ Dylan Francis celebrates his 30th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, a movie beat, because it is Friday. We've got RJ Bell in Vegas with his picks for Week 5 of the NFL. We have Craig Robinson and Adam Scott in studio from their TV show Ghosted.
Love them both.
Me too.
Brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, Keep It 100, and tickets for our breakfast with Foo Fighters and tickets to see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl all tomorrow morning.